Hi, and welcome to episode 56 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where small press comics make one hell of a big noise. I'm your host, Vince Hunt, creator of The Red Mouse from Mars and Stalkerville, and joining me to pop the balloon of independent comics this week are writer, artist and creator of the kick-ass superhero webcomic Vanguard, Daniel Butcher.
Hello.
He's doing a phone voice, and he's going to try and do it for the...
We're being polite, we've told you already.
This is the polite week, folks, and you can hear him there. It's the latest addition to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, even though they had to buy the rights of Captain Caveman to do it. It's Tony Esmond.
How you doing? You sound really nice tonight.
Thank you, Tony. And Matt, you both sound wonderful this evening.
Oh, fuck off.
Is that 1 minute in?
I think that was... Yeah. Did we make it to 40 seconds?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Maybe. I don't know.
There's plenty of
jokes. My time with you. I'd enjoy it so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay. That's the most polite thing you'll say all show.
Yeah, I'm going to say anal again later.
And there's so much more to look forward to on this show, folks. This week, we don't have a guest. No.
No one would come on.
No. Well, we've got a queue of people to come on, Tony. You know about this.
Yeah, I do.
We did have a scheduling conflict, didn't we? The chap, yes. Michael K. Russell, he's going to be on next week now.
Yes. Next week's show, we might as well say it earlier, for all you colourists out there, and budding colourists, it's going to be a great show next week, because it's someone that Dan's mentioned a few times on the show, isn't it, Dan?
Indeed, yeah. He runs has a ton of videos on his YouTube channel. We'll stick a link up.
Early on, didn't he?
Yeah, and he... basically shows you how to use Photoshop to do various colouring techniques in comic books, basically. Yeah. I think he's going to be kind of a really interesting guest.
Yeah, he's not just a guy that just does it off the bat as well. He's worked on quite a few titles, hasn't he?
Well, he's actually a professional. Yeah. Like, he's full-time. I think he's working on a postal comic at the moment. He's done some Star Wars stuff. So, yeah, he's...
Okay.
He's on it.
Nice. So next week will be worth looking forward to. This week, who knows?
Turn off now.
Yes, we're just going to be riffing this week. And with the juggernaut of San Diego Comic-Con, I don't think anyone out there has heard of that show. It's a little show. But it's been throwing out some news and some trailers and lots of other good stuff. Normally, I don't really pay attention to that much, but... this year, it seems like they've been showing quite a lot of good trailers and stuff. So we thought we'd have an episode where we just shoot the breeze, talk about some of that stuff. And also, we're going to be talking about some comic book shops. And that's our sort of main topic, as it were. And we'll mention some of you guys out there have very lovingly sent us your recommendations. I know when I'm somewhere, I want to know where the comic book shop is. So you might find out about a new store near you. So thank you to everyone who got in touch with us about that. But before we do all of
No, we've got another thing coming up, haven't we? Everyone's got to listen to. We've got our competition winners.
Oh, yes, of course.
The greatest competition known to man.
It is. So a couple of people got a bit upset because they thought we'd add them over. I quite like that, to be fair.
Do you think we lost any listeners?
Nah, who cares?
Well, I care.
My mum was quite outraged. She said, I was trying to buy that comic online and couldn't find it. You know, but there you go.
Yeah, well, she buys a lot of comics, your mum.
She does, yeah. She's never bought yours.
No. Bitch.
Well, she bought one of the bootlegs.
She's got all the bootlegs from Dan. Damn bastard.
I think they're free digital copies. She's fine.
Right. I'm going to edit out the bit that I'm about to do now where I just have a go at them for half an hour. Before we get on to all the comic talk and... it descends off a cliff like this week. This show always does. What books would we like to talk about this week, Tony?
I'm going to talk about Sliced Quarterly issue 3, which is out. Have you read it, you two guys, yet? Or
no, I've downloaded it. It's free, isn't it? It's free to download.
I think it's free to reviewers. I'm not sure exactly Ken's business model around it, but I know he's basically trying to get it out there, so he sends it out as well as you can buy it. I think that's right, is it?
Yeah, I think so. That sounds about right.
So, he sent me the press release. Sliced Quarterly is an experimental comic anthology. We give a home to stories that want to push the boundaries of the comic book narrative. We publish slice-of-life stories told in extraordinary ways, which I think kind of sums it up. He makes a point to say, look, it's not about sort of capes and superheroes. He says he enjoys that, but that's elsewhere in the sort of small press scene. So, what he does is he he focuses on short-ish stories that sort of tell something true to life, you know, in some way or other.
Yeah.
But they approach it from all different ways. What I really like, I was thinking about this today, about Ken's approach to this, and what I really like is a lot of UK anthologies seem to spend their life telling you how clever they are. I think they all seem to have a little wry sort of smile going on, and a little bit of a sort of, I don't know, a little bit of irony and hipsterish about them. Does that make sense?
I understand. Just telling a solid story.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And that's what I think Ken does. He sort of tries and succeeds in most of the cases to tell a sort of solid story without, like, oh, look at us, look how clever we are, look at us taking the piss out of whoever it's going to be, you know. And for that, I really enjoyed this issue. I think it's the strongest so far. Just, I won't go through all the stories because there's quite a few, but a couple of them. Firstly, Crowdsurfing by John Late and Rory Donald, both guests of the show and great guys, with letters by Ken. And it's basically a two-page, short and sort of cleverly written. And I think this really shows to me how John has grown as a writer, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I really like his Brethren Born and, you know, the sort of sci-fi superhero approach he's got in that, but this is very different. I had a quick chat with him about it yesterday, and he said, look, he was trying to write something slice of life, and I think he does really successfully. It's hard to sort of ruin it with it. You need to buy it, but it's about someone throwing a bottle with a message into the sea. I won't say anything more about that, but it's solemn, it's in black and white, with a sort of grey wash art by Rory, really successfully. I love his work, Rory's work. It's really grown on me, and he's certainly growing. You can see him growing with each page he sticks up on Facebook, and you really need to go up there and have a look at it.
Yeah. He does a lot of, recently he's done a lot of Griff Gristle sort of like illustrations and pin-ups and stuff like that. I think they're working on the new, Mattias working on the new Griff Gristle book, and yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Great work. One
to out for. I can see him being it's being snapped up by the next sort of next level of paying gigs and stuff, actually.
Yeah.
Really nice stuff. The other one is by Catherine Biggs, who very kindly, literally, as I wrote something up for Down the Tube this week around Sliced as a little sort of promo for the new book coming out. And literally, as I just finished typing the bit about Catherine's work, she emailed us, didn't she? She emailed through saying, you know, I've got some work. Would you fancy looking at it? And I haven't really dived into it properly yet, but it looks really interesting. And if this strip is anything to go by, it should be something sort of fairly profound, I would say. Right, I'm going to give it a go at the title of this. Excuse me for this. Alle mein neue Werte sind Lebensmittel. That's the title.
That was positively fluent in
thank you.
In a language of some kind. I don't know what it is.
Martian. Again, Ken's done the letters on it, and it looks it's a sort of autobiographical diary comic, but something that's sort of pins down certain political aspects of immigration. It looks like it's done on graph paper, unless they've added that in Photoshop somehow. But it looks like it's drawn on graph paper, and it talks about how immigrants try so hard to find somewhere that they can call home, and it's got a clearly very intelligent people who are forced to work in bars and stuff like that. You know, these people have got, you know, very proficient degrees and qualified in many ways, but simply because they're in a country that doesn't understand their language or perhaps doesn't understand certain things about them, they're sort of forced to work in, I don't know what it's like in London, but, you know, Starbucks or something like that.
Yeah.
Very, very, very clever, really nice black and white sort of diary style work. You know, it looks like it's done in a jotter almost. I think purposely like that, but very clear. Unlike some of the stuff that's just a mess, you know, people look, they want to affect a sort of sketchbook style. This is formatted sort of perfectly and flows very well and tells a very interesting story. It ends on sort of quite a poignant sort of political note, especially at the moment. Do you know what I mean? There's some other stuff in it. There's some really good stuff. There's a one-page sci-fi story by S.K. Moore. Tom Mortimer's got a strip in there called Hyenas. There's Texit by Simon Mackey, which is life under Trump in the near future. The Ballad of Backwards Billy by Dave Hailwood and Brett Burbage, which is a sort of fun and sweary sort of, you know, Benjamin Button type thing. Very good. It's definitely, to me, an anthology where the story comes first. He's also looking for submissions at the moment. So if you go to, on Twitter, if you go to @SlicedQuarterly, or if you go to facebook.com/sliced-quarterly, You can have a look at his stuff. Really good stuff. Yeah, really enjoyed it. Ken's definitely pushing it. And bear in mind, Ken's just come back from an operation. You know, he's done well to get this out there. And I know that 4 is already in the works. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the first time that Slice has been mentioned on this show.
No. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So, and it's well deserving. So I'm looking forward to getting into that one.
Yeah. I'm not saying everything is
about the last one.
Yeah, I think we did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not saying everything is 100% successful. There's a couple of pages in there. A couple of strips that don't completely work for me. But it's got out, as an anthology goes, it's got a good hit rate, do you know what I mean? So
That's the nature of an anthology anyway, though.
I think
he's tried to sort of flex the muscles that you wouldn't necessarily try elsewhere, you know, just give something a go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess you got to be a bit careful because you don't want all the anthology to be misses.
Yeah.
Not that they're misses, you know what I mean? Yeah. But
well, I mean, yeah, everything. Everyone has different tastes, don't they? So they'll be, you know, just say it's an anthology with 6 stories. I could like 5 and not like 1. But, like, Dan...
That's pretty darn good.
Yeah. Dan, you could love that one story that I didn't like and not like the others. It's just... that's the nature of it. You know, I don't think... When it comes to anthologies, you can't really sort of tarnish the whole thing. You know, you have to look at them individually, I think, don't you?
Yeah, definitely.
Rather than just looking,
it's almost like a sample for me, like a sample of someone. Yeah. Like, for example, Catherine, it's a sample of some work. I'm like, oh, I want to look into that person, see what else they're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
I think sometimes you've got to see it like that, you know.
Yeah, I think that's a brilliant way to look at it, you know.
So,
I
mean, with the price point, was you saying it's essentially free, but it asks people to pay for it?
No, I think he's sending it out to reviewers and bloggers and stuff like that to have a look at it, and right. I think. Am I right in saying the print? Oh, I should know this. I think the print copy will then. I'm not sure. I think the print copy will then cost you something. I think.
Okay.
Yeah. He's got a deal going with another company where they're sort of swapping content from a European company as well. I was reading about today as well. Yeah.
On the Slice Quarterly website, the first 3 are free to download now.
Okay.
Oh, okay. There you go.
So, so
SliceQuarterly.co.uk. So get over there and have a look at them.
Yeah. And it's well worth checking out. I mean, I think obviously when he has the print copies, obviously you're going to shell out a few quid for them, but naturally you would do. But Ken's got his head screwed on as well, so I'm sure it would be a wonderful product.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So there you go.
There you go. That's my one.
Definitely check that one out. Daniel Butcher.
This is a great one we've had sent in. The Last Driver, or The Last Driver, by Dead Canary Comics. When we had the Dead Canary guys, only 2 of them briefly, and then back to 1, they talked about this book, and it's illustrated by the awesome Shaky Kane and written by Chris, is it C.S. Baker? Chris?
Yeah, I think it is, yeah.
And it's not available yet, but it's coming soon to Kickstarter. You can check out the Dead Canary website, deadcanarycomics.com, and have a look there. And the blurb is, in a world riddled with death, despair, and giant man-eating monsters, one man does his best to not let the apocalypse get him down. This is really a real fun read.
Kane's at his best in this, I've got to tell you.
Yeah.
And that blurb is like the back of the VHS box that really doesn't tell you the amount of awesome craziness that's going on in this book.
Yeah.
So the driver, the last driver, is a chap called, I wrote this down, Frank Sudden. Who essentially in this world he's living in, he's blasting around in his car. I can't bloody remember the name of the car now.
But it's basically a fancy name, isn't it? Yeah,
it's a classic car that he's kind of always loved and wanted to drive all his life. And now that kind of this monster apocalypse has happened with these giant-sized animals and monsters is attacking humanity, he's decided he's going to live out that dream and do it.
It's a Corvette 1969 model Stingray. Nice. The astronaut's choice, I think he describes it as, yeah. There you go.
There's an absolutely great sequence that kind of captures this character, and he's working in a call centre, and everyone's there kind of humdrum doing their little pieces, and he's on the phone going, yeah, whatever, absolutely. And then behind him, a woman screams as this kind of like 20-story tall alligator comes like marching past the windows, and she's like, ah! And he's like, on the phone, he's like, one moment, please, sir. And he turns around to her and says, you know, Carol, I don't screw about when you're working. Have some consideration for others. And she's like screaming, it's horrible. And then it cuts back to him in the future saying, yeah, I know, it was. He goes, I went to art school. So I just got up and quit and walked out the door. And behind him, where he's kind of walking out, not going to do this job anymore, this monster's reached in and is like tearing people apart. And there's like chaos and confusion everywhere. And essentially, this Frank Sutton, he's living out the apocalypse, but he doesn't want it to impact on his life whatsoever. And
so he
tries to
kind of, and all sorts, isn't he?
Yeah, it's a really interesting take. It's kind of like he has to deal with this shit, but he really doesn't want to. He just wants to live out his dream of being a dude.
Chris was saying he gave the script to Shaky Kane, and Shaky Kane just like went off on one. He said, like, do what you fancy with it, and he's just gone off on one. And you can see the pages where he does it. Yeah. Like a sort of huge caterpillar creature being blown up from inside after it swallows him. And just beautiful pages, really good. Yeah.
There's one dude who makes him laugh as he fucks around with his barbecue, and it cuts to him driving down the road with like him chained to the back.
Yeah.
And over yes. Here panels, there's like a body, and then slowly it becomes like limbless.
Yeah.
And so then it goes really fantastic touches.
There's a couple of different stories in it, because halfway through it goes to a sort of an homage to sort of 70s porn, 80s porn, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And it goes to Frank Sutton in Sudden Impact, and it's a Paul Throat production. Where we go.
What a name, Paul Throat.
Yeah. And it's immediately into, I don't know whether the actual one's going to have these, I suspect they will have these censored bits over the top of them, but they're not really hiding much, are they, to be fair?
No.
This isn't an all-ages book, by the way.
If you get that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Shaky's artwork is fantastic throughout. It really suits the style of the story. And Frank Sutton, we're promised at the end of the story we're going to see more of him. And, we do want to see more. It's really good.
He's a bit of a badass living in this sort of crazy apocalyptic world, isn't he, really?
Yeah, it's kind of like driving through massive 20-foot dinosaurs while having a gun battle with two cheerleaders in the car. And
I can see him being played by... Who's the guy in They Live?
Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Yeah, I could see it being played by him. Do you know what I mean?
Although, not anymore. Because
not anymore, obviously. Yeah.
Rest in peace, Hot Rod.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, this is definitely, and it's like you say, like They Live, I think it's definitely born from someone who loves those sort of 80s sci-fi, just don't give a fuck. Hell Comes to Frogtown.
I love that film.
I knew you would.
And America 3000 as well, if you've seen that, it's very similar.
Yeah.
Six String Samurai, that's another one.
Yeah. It's a good one. Yeah.
Big stuff. Yeah. Crazy.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah. I think Chris has watched a lot of these sort of films and had that sort of influence. And then you give it to someone like Shaky Kane, and it's just.
Oh, it goes off one. I love his work for years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got an interesting cover by Juan Jose Rip, who's done a lot.
Yeah. You know, we talked about this a minute ago, didn't we? But I'm a big fan of his stuff. Rip. But it's slightly incongruous with the insides. I'd rather have seen a Shaky Kane cover, to be fair.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind it as a kind of like an alternative cover, the Rip one. But I'd love to see a Shaky cover, because like you'd get it on the strength of a Shaky Kane cover, and that's what you'd get in the book.
Yeah, and it's like a little artifact of Shaky Kane work, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a shame not to put him on the front there. There's all number of different panels you could put on there that could be the cover. It's not a bad cover. It's a great cover.
Not at all, yeah.
It's just not quite what I expected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't prepared for it to be so bright and colourful. I think that's not something we're talking about a post-apocalyptic world, and there's a few of those sort of things out at the moment. Don't get me started on Wacky Races. but this is, when you think post-apocalyptic, you don't think bright yellows, greens, purples, you know.
Yeah, it's full bright light in the desert, isn't it? Constant.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's quality.
It's a really interesting one. I'll definitely be backing that one when it pops up on Kickstarter.
Are they kickstarting it, or is it...
On the Dead Canary page, it says coming soon to Kickstarter.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll definitely buy the hard copy of this, I've got to hear. Yeah, it looks great.
Can't wait to get a few more emails from Kickstarter every day.
Oh,
tell me about how I'm getting on.
Yeah.
Fuck it, I'm just going to leave it till the last minute and then do it now, because I just don't want these emails every fucking day.
Yeah,
I can understand why people do it, but like sometimes people use their old Kickstarter campaign to send a message out about their new Kickstarter campaign. Now, if you're just thinking about it, like from a business sense, that makes total sense because you're getting to an audience you might not know about your new campaign. But it just makes me laugh.
There's that fine line, isn't there? There's a fine line between. you know, getting people interested and fucking annoying them.
Yeah.
You know
what I mean? Yeah, at the same time, you do need to keep sort of tooting the horn, don't you? That's, you know.
Yeah.
I like tooting it.
You love tooting it.
The other one, I mean, I outed myself last week and said, look, I don't do Kickstarters anymore because, you know, for a number of reasons, I've been let down and I don't like to play favourites. But I have to say, the two that I did, I got like an email every day on them. Well, the three that I did, I got an email every day. And then suddenly, as soon as they've got their money, you don't get an email. One of them didn't get an email for about 3 years.
Yeah.
You think, oh, fuck.
Well, as soon as the money's handed over, it's like, oh, see you later then.
Yeah, get on with that then at some point.
I mean, I must say, I mean, I've pledged, I always seem to, I want to step away from Kickstarter, and there's always like something that crops up, and I'm like, oh, actually, that was quite good. Oh, that's only £2 for a digital version. I'll just pop a couple of quid on that. But a lot of the stuff like I'm getting at the moment, like certainly the book I'm going to talk about next was a Kickstarter success. A lot of the UK small press stuff I've seen actually follows through on what they're saying they're going to deliver most of the time.
Within the little sort of world that we live in, the small press world, I do worry occasionally, when you see the names of people in the back of Kickstarters, I do worry occasionally that a lot of them seem to be people I know. You know what I mean? I think it's almost like we're eating ourselves, you know?
Yeah.
One Kickstarter, if someone's pledging a Kickstarter, and then they're paying for the mates' ones, and you know, I think there's something to be said for getting the name out outside of the small press scene, you know, thinking of a clever way to do it. Yeah, but I think we need to sort of start
also at the same time, like, you know, support is support, isn't it, at the end of the day? I mean, once you've got that once you've got it funded, you know, you can then go on to try and get the book out to a new audience.
Oh, I agree. It's just maybe take that, cool, take it, but go beyond it as well. You know, I think one I saw the other day, naming no names, is about, I think I knew about half the people on the list.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm thinking, oh, okay.
Well, I think what this show is trying to be an effort into trying to push it to maybe people that don't. I know a lot of small press creators do listen to the show, but obviously try and get it into the hands. And I know that's been successful on a number of occasions now.
Yeah, I know there's certainly people who have bought it because we've recommended it, you know, which I'm really pleased. That's the best thing ever, isn't it, you know?
Yeah.
Apart from three titles, which we'll talk about in a bit.
Oh yes, we're going to upset a whole lot of people.
At least we did it in one hit.
We didn't
not gaslighting listeners.
Yeah.
Constantly making this stuff up.
Yeah. If anything, it was a test to see if anyone paid attention to what we talk about week to week.
Someone, I'll mention it when we get to the thing. So okay. We'll talk about it.
Oh. I know what you're about to say. Yeah.
Nice. Vince. So The Last Driver, definitely check that out. Dead Canary, a great group of guys.
Give that a shout when the Kickstarter goes live.
Yeah, definitely.
And it was really nice of him to send it to us because we'd seen a couple of images. I think he sent them while he was talking, didn't he? He sent us some pictures of it. But to see it all come together looks brilliant. Yeah.
So, and we may be speaking to some of the creators on Dead Canary Comics quite soon in the future.
Well, yeah, that's promising, isn't it? That's looking good. Yeah.
People want to talk to us. It's amazing after like 56 episodes, isn't it, really?
Is that how many it is? Fucking hell.
I think so. Jesus. Yeah. I don't want to talk to you anymore.
Yesterday.
Don't cut me off. Anyway, right, so that's The Last Driver. And speaking of Kickstarters, the book that I'm talking about this week was a successful Kickstarter. It's also a book that I have previously talked about before on one of my reads of the week.
We've already got the name for being the Carry On of podcasting. Yeah. I just realised you're the Kenneth Williams. If I'm the Sid James, that was definitely Kenneth Williams there.
Yeah, which one's Dan?
Charles
Bernard Breslau.
Oh, yes, what's on? He was also an ice warrior in Doctor Who, did you know that?
Yeah.
He was like a stuntman.
God.
He popped up in so much stuff. Kroll.
He's a Cyclops.
What was the other one? The one that was actually made in England?
Hawk the Slayer.
Yeah.
It was Kroll. Wasn't he the Cyclops in Kroll?
Yeah, he was Cyclops in Kroll.
Yeah.
Oh, he's just the giant in the Hawk. Was Hawk the Slayer, then, is he?
Yeah.
Technically not really a giant, just a tall bloke.
I was really sad in that. I always remember watching that as a kid, Kroll, when he gets crushed. Spoilers, he gets crushed. Getting spoilers of the film made in the 1980s.
If you're thinking about watching Kroll, don't. Although Liam Neeson's in that, isn't he?
Is he?
Yeah,
yeah, it's kind of like got Robbie Coltrane, Liam Neeson, the geezer who plays Mark out of fucking EastEnders.
That's
oh,
he's
not me. Yeah.
He goes to a lot of Comic Cons, have you know. And he was in Return of the Jedi. But if you want to see one of the best, this is Liam Neeson, Oscar nominated actor. You know, he's a brilliant actor. And his death scene, spoilers, he dies, in Krull, is one of the funniest examples of bad acting you've ever seen in your life.
Worse than Taken 3.
Oh, yeah.
God, that's terrible.
Yeah. That don't mess about with him, though, because he's a man with a particular set of skills.
Yeah,
in Taken 2, like, I really like Taken. I think it's a fantastic film.
Yeah.
But in the Taken 2, he gets his daughter to run around the city throwing grenades to locate her. And I just think, what?
Isn't that what you're going to do with your kid, though, Dan, when he grows up?
Obviously. I was just getting to press that map thing on WhatsApp, and I find...
I mean, that's pretty irresponsible. Yeah, just keep throwing grenades, and then I'll find the sound. Okay.
Good idea.
Oh, dear. Do you know what? I haven't seen that, but after that, I really want to watch it now.
Yeah.
I'll meet my son for dinner tomorrow. I might get him to do that. I might say just kill the hobos, and then I'll find
So another thing is in that film when it's a whole revenge film, the fact that Liam Neeson's character was killing a load of these dudes in the first film. So in the second film, those dudes, like families and friends, are going to get revenge.
Yeah.
Right. So at one point, Liam Neeson finds the top dude and he's grabbed one of the guys.
Spoilers for any of the Taken films, if any of you care, which you probably don't.
Yeah, he says, like, why are you fucking chasing me? It's like, oh, because you killed one of our dudes. And then proceeds to shoot the man Liam Neeson's holding hostage. And it's like, hold on. So why? You're trying to get at him because he's killed one of your blokes, and then you just killed one of your blokes.
I love it when you describe things.
I got a little bit lost in his voice there. It was dreamy.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
Or if you're pissed off about your people getting shot, and then you shoot one of them. Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's well, kind of... you know, if it's fashionable at the time, you're just going to join in, aren't you?
Yeah. Liam Neeson's doing it. Fuck it.
Yeah, well, I'm not killing people.
If Liam Neeson does anything, we should all do it. Hang on.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Alright.
Act badly in death scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's... big shit in Star Wars.
Hey, watch yourself. Yeah, he's my dad. Anyway, right.
What?
My book, before we got
so we
derailed,
almost went off on a tangent then.
Yeah, before we went count the 6 degrees of what the hell are we talking about, where we went from Carry On to Hawk the Slayer to Krull to Taken.
Nicely tracked.
I know. Oh, thanks.
Like ages ago. Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably the only time I'll actually know what we're talking about this week. But my book. My book that I'm talking about this week is Turncoat by Ryan O'Sullivan and Plaid Claus. Now, I've talked about it before on the show. And it seemed that just that shortly after I talked about it on the show, everyone seemed to be talking about it, and I don't think that's because they were listening to this. It wasn't because of us, not in any way, shape, or form. But it just seems, you know, when you suddenly really like you notice something, and then you look around the world, and it's everywhere. Well, yes, Tony. how many times are you going to say that this episode, man?
Might say once more.
Well, that's another thing to look forward to, folks. but. Turncoat, I'll just tell you a little bit about the book, if you didn't listen to the episode where I talked about it. It's about a guy called Duke. Now, Duke kills superheroes for a living. The problem is, he's terrible at it. To make matters worse, his ex-wife Sharon is absolutely amazing at it. Even though Duke teams up with supervillains on all of his hits, it's a rare day that his ex-wife doesn't beat him to the punch. Duke's desperate to get one over on her, so when the contract comes through for the world's premier team of superheroes, the Liberty Brigade, Duke believes his day has finally come. Unfortunately for him, this golden opportunity is anything but. And this was a webcomic, originally, of which you can catch it all online now, so you can read it all for free. But they had a Kickstarter for it, for a hardcover collection of 6 chapters this was. Which I thought was great. I like a webcomic, much like Vanguard, which you should all read. It does treat it as individual issues. So you have like a 20 sort of page section, and then you go on to the next one. So that's how I read the webcomic. And to see it all complete, you know, it was good reading like that, but I was also looking forward to holding the entire collection in my hand, if that makes sense. And this is a lovely hardcover book. that I've got now that just came through from Kickstarter, so they delivered. They also sort of updated people with like the prints of the books. You know, seeing all those boxes. Have you ever seen this? Like when people get their comic printed and they take pictures of all the stock and they've got loads of boxes. I always think, how many did you get printed? Because I never get that many printed in one go. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And people were saying, oh, they're four lorries just pulled up outside my house.
Yeah.
They say that, don't they? You think, oh, right, okay.
Yeah. I've never had that. Never
had I've seen the photos of the Big Punch Towers.
Oh, yeah.
They had, like, rooms packed up with boxes.
Yeah. I know Tom Ward also is, you know, he just got Treves, which is a brilliant comic we're going to talk about soon. He had loads of prints of that book turn up. I remember when he had his trade paperback, however, and it had, like, he had all these boxes, and then there was some printing mistakes, so he had to go through all of the boxes.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. I mean, he got them all sort of reprinted, so it all worked out fine, but it was just... Yeah,
well, that's the thing about printing. Obviously, the more you get, the cheaper it is.
Yeah.
So you kind of got to weigh up those things of, like, the cost per unit goes down the more you get printed, but... Oh, you're going to be able to shift them all. So it's a bit of a gamble, isn't it?
Yeah, it's obviously something that you have to factor into your Kickstarter, isn't it? You know, when you're looking at your printing costs, how many it's going to take, especially with this lovely hardback book, because I think we'd all love to have a hardback book of some kind that we've done. I know I would one day, hopefully.
I'm going to have to ask someone about Kickstarters. In fact, that you say, right, I'm going to get 40 books done, and I'm going to put a Kickstarter on, and you can have 40 backers, and you're going to have a hardback book each or whatever. Or would you say, right, everyone that bids, and then you work out how much everyone's paying to the print cost? Do you know what I mean? I'm not sure about that. So,
yeah. I suppose you've got to specify what you're doing, haven't you?
Yeah.
I know people fanny around with it. I know the... was it Gold Tiger, isn't it? Is that Gold Tiger? Is it that the sort of fake newspaper thing that Shane talked about?
Yeah.
I know that sort of was going to be one thing and then ended up being another...
Yeah, and I know Kickstarters that have started off as sort of like just trade paperbacks, you know, just normal, but they've done so well that one of their stretch goals has turned it into a hardcover, which is always amazing if that happens.
Yeah.
So there's so many different factors to it. You know, it's nice when people sort of break down what the printing costs are, because I know like Sam Webster's Unfamiliar Skies at the moment. He's on his Kickstarter page. He's actually got like a pie chart telling everyone this is how much is going into printing, this is how much is the tax, this is how much is that.
Approach.
Yeah. So
that's made its figure, isn't it?
It has, yes. Good. So that'd be
more.
Yeah.
I know you're stressing a bit about them sort of mid-range, you know, the bit in the middle of the month when you know you get a bit of a dip, but I'm glad it has.
So that'd be good. And Turncoat was a wildly successful Kickstarter. And when you see this book, it's easy to see why. It's a fantastically funny story. It does have a dark sense of humour, which all of us on this show love. But this guy, Duke, he's like a hitman trying to kill superheroes, but he's balding, he's got a pot belly. He does still look cool. He's got like a white suit and this cool mask that you can see on the front cover. But he is kind of terrible at his job. But I mean, I love the sort of storytelling on it as well, because every chapter starts with, in chapter one, first page you see is this superhero sort of jumping across, it's a big splash page. Every chapter one is a splash page. And it says, Bug Boy, super strength, short-term clairvoyance, martial arts training, how do I kill him? Like, and every sort of issue starts with like describing someone and then, how do I kill them? Because this guy has no idea how he's going to beat all
these people. Yeah, I think about that a lot too.
You think about it every show. How do you kill us?
Every hour of the day.
That's true. It's true. There are twists and turns to this story. It does make me laugh out loud at a lot of them. Especially there's a character in it called Scare Bear, who's a giant sort of 8-foot bear with an eye patch, who's a little bit fabulous. And he crops up a couple of times. There's sort of allegories to sort of like the Justice League kind of characters, but in a real funny way. And like I say, you can check it all out on turncoatcomic.com. And I would say start from the beginning, because they're going to post up where you can get the actual hardcover as well, I think. Because they're just sending them out all to all the Kickstarter people now. So I think they've got quite a few books to send out. I think they did. I think it's like 200% over or 300%, you know.
Oh, good. Yeah.
And I think it speaks volumes to the actual quality of the story and how many people, you know, how this got out to many more people than I thought it did. You know, I was thinking, oh, I found a little gem that no one knows about. And it seems like a lot of people hear about.
I'm always disappointed when I find out people like things I like.
Yeah, I know. I mean, on the actual Kickstarter page of Turncoat, there is actually a quote by me.
Yeah. Oh, get in. Oh,
nice. Get in. Yes. Yes. Yeah. It was one of the top ones. And you'll be pleased to know, Tony, that on the back of the back of the book, when they've got some quotes from creators and journalists, they've got the name of every single person.
Very good. Finally.
Yeah.
I was thinking this today. I spend hours every week writing stuff out, some of it which I'm quite proud of, and then people just put down the tubes.
Yeah.
You know, or as we'll probably discover, the Awesome Comics podcast, you know. So I can say the name of the person who said it, you know.
Yes. So this has that on the back, which is quite cool. Yeah, I won't say any more about the story. Like I say, you can check it out for free. And I have spoken about it before in length. But it was just so nice to see the whole collection. Get it all and like the fresh print smell. You know, the feel of the hardback spine.
That's one of those weird, you know, you're talking about people in the world suddenly come up with the same idea, you know, at the same time. Yeah. That's a shame because there's two very good comics out called Turncoat, aren't there, at the moment?
Yeah. Because the other one is Alex Paknadal, isn't it?
And Trakanoff's, is it Boom Studios? Yeah. Very good. Well,
yeah. That was almost
completely
like...
completely different.
They are very, very different books. I mean, this, I haven't read the other one, but this one's my favourite Turncoat. And also Ryan and Klaus played an actual, he's from New York, he's a brilliant artist from New York. One of the great things I saw on the Turncoat comic website, actually, one of the latest panels, he has a huge sort of he talks about storyboarding, like a page, how it goes from like the scamps and how it turns into the final page, and like the scans and how he blows up those scans into the full pages, and goes into in depth about the artwork. So that's fascinating as well. So it's much more than just a webcomic, as it were. And Ryan's a great guy. I met him at London Super Comic Con, so he's well worth checking out. You weren't there when we met him. I don't think. Yeah. Okay. I know Emily Owen was speaking to him and got him mixed up for the other Turncoat creator.
Right, but she thought it was Paknadal. Yeah.
But like I say, this is the best Turncoat in the world, and everyone should check it out. So. Yeah.
And I hope Alex isn't listening. If you are listening, I like yours best.
Well, there you go. It's like Civil War, but on the Awesome Comics podcast.
Yeah.
And Civil War was a fantastic movie this year.
Yes.
But at San Diego Comic-Con this year, there's been plenty... Don't put me off my stride when it comes to these segues, because I'm doing this for Dan. Dan
every
loves
week.
Them.
I love the segues.
Yeah, no.
Yes, San Diego Comic Con. There's lots of movie stuff coming out at the moment, and I've just got off the back of watching a lot of trailers, and there's a lot of exciting news for comic book fans. We rarely do this on this show, but I just wanted to take a small moment just to nerd out over some of the stuff we've seen.
Should we each choose a thing that has really got us excited? How would that be?
I'll go first. Tony's voice, that always gets me excited.
Thank you. I know it does.
When you're off, I'll say exactly the same about Dan's voice.
I'll jump in and say the Justice League trailer. Aquaman looks fucking ace. I thought
Affleck was great in it. I loved him in that trailer.
I tell you what, I'm bowled over by you two, especially you, Dan. I did not think you were going to be so enthusiastic about it.
You know, kind of like you kind of think, right, you got to kind of reimagine Aquaman to make him look kind of slightly relevant. And just have him like that just really works. Obviously, I don't know what the film's going to be
like. Seaweed stuck in his hair, didn't he?
Looks like he would kind of stink of salt and seawater and have all shit in his hair and like a sort of undersea... Hobo King. So, I think it's really good.
I like the conversation that Affleck and Wonder Woman Gal Gadot have about, is he on board? Well, he kind of is. And then he just decides he isn't. I like that.
I
even warmed the Flash character. I didn't think I'd like it. I love the TV series so much.
Me too,
I was thinking, it can't be better than that. But it was quite good. It was good. You know?
I thought it was going to be a bit of an injustice that they didn't get that chap to do it.
Yeah, me too. Yeah,
I'm quite happy that they're all separate entities and you can have about 10 different actors playing the Flash. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah, and Cyborg is, because I know Superman's going to be in the Supergirl series, isn't it? It's going to be a different actor.
Okay. Yeah.
Gotham might be having Batman in it at some point, but it's going to be a different character to the Affleck one, which is fine.
They're all completely different universes. You know, when you talk about if it's not the Marvel stuff, I think it's a completely different universe.
Yeah.
I don't treat it as the same. And when people sort of say, oh, will you see this movie character in this TV series? No, you won't. Get over it. They're building up completely different universes. And the style, it's like when they were building up Man of Steel and, like, you know, some people say, oh, will Christian Bale be in it? It's like, no, it's moving away from that. It's being something else.
I've got one for that, which was one of my favourite bits of news in that same sort of groove, is Ghost Rider is going to be an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes. Yes.
How cool is that? And it's the Tradmore one. Is it Robbie Ray's? Is that his name?
Yeah, I love that.
That looked, so good.
I'm going to have to get back into that just for that.
It's been really good recently, mate. I have to say, I really liked it recently.
Yeah.
I know it had a bit of a slow period during the second season, but yes, it's really back on its game, I think, at the moment. And include that, I think they're going along with the mystical, magical side of things, because it will coincide with Doctor Strange coming out, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, and I think I'm really looking forward to that. That's a great character. Obviously, we've seen two movies with Nicolas Cage, and I actually really like the second one. I think it's really well done.
Here we go.
Have you seen the footage of, like, him?
Yes, I've seen that.
Anyone listening that don't know what we're talking about, if you YouTube footage of Ghost Rider Spirits of Vengeance with Nicolas Cage before they added all the CG, it's amazing.
That's how he is anyway, I think, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah,
that's where he's just got the lighting tubes on, and he's fucking going mad.
And he's painted a skull on his face.
Yeah,
see, that's brilliant. And anyone who doesn't know, he's called Nick Cage after Luke Cage, because his name is actually Coppola, isn't it? I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
His acting name is actually named after Luke Cage because he's such a big fan of comics.
Well, he called his son Cal, didn't he?
Oh, did he? Oh, okay. Yeah. There you go. Didn't he drop like $1 million or something at a recent comic convention? Didn't he?
Did he? Well, I know he owes an awful lot of money, I think, which is why he's in so many straight-to-DVD films.
Yeah. I know he married Elvis's daughter, didn't he? Didn't she make him get rid of all his comics?
That's
the rumour, isn't it? Yeah.
That death, whatever happened to the death and return of Superman, or Superman Lives, definitely see that if you get a chance. That's fantastic.
Oh, I must see that. Yeah, I've not seen that
one. Oh, have you seen it,
Dan? Fantastic. Yeah, I've seen it, yeah. It's really good.
Ah. Is it on Netflix or anything? Is it all?
I think someone at work had it on a DVD. It was going around the office, and I said, "I'll have a shifty at that."
Okay.
Blimey, they have some cool DVDs go around your office, don't they?
There's a couple of people who are
office.
Yeah. Who are cool, who have that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
At the end, when you see the screenshots of anything, this looks like a fucking an abomination.
Yeah.
And then after you see like kind of the production stuff and what they're talking about, I was like, I wouldn't mind seeing that. That looks all right. It might have been totally mental, but it would have been a real fun watch.
Yeah.
We've put up with some crap over the years, haven't we, that I've actually quite enjoyed, you know.
Do you know what? I'm going to find it my mission to a superhero film that Tony Esmond does not like.
Oh, go on in. Yeah, find one.
All right. Green Lantern.
No, to be fair, I don't like that.
Yeah!
There's a couple of bits in it are okay, but... And I like Ryan Reynolds. I really like him.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I'll tell you what I like. I like the teaser after the credits. That's the bit I like in it.
I will say this about the Green Lantern movie. When they first did, like, I think there was like a 7-minute trailer. I thought that looked really promising. I thought it looked better than I thought it was going to be. But then when I saw the whole movie, it was just a mess.
I didn't get to the end of that. I got to some. I think you know when that the yellow thing's attacking. I can't remember the fucking name. No investment.
The one that looks like a cosmic turd.
Yeah. I think I just stopped watching it and just didn't watch anymore.
Yeah.
I've got some right weird comic movies here. Here's just a couple, see if you've seen them. Darkness Falls.
What do you mean, Darkness Falls? What's that?
It's based on a comic. I think it's a Dark Horse comic, actually, I think.
Is that the one about the Tooth Fairy?
Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
Yes, I've seen that.
I didn't know that was based on a comic.
Oh. Yeah. What else I've got here? Oh, History of Violence, which obviously we talked about earlier in the week, which I love.
Yeah.
Guyver, Dark Hero. Come on.
Guyver.
Guyver, Dark Hero. Mutronix.
Yes.
Not the father of MacGyver.
He's got Mark Hamill as the prime star of that, but it's like he's not the fucking hero.
And it's horrible what happens to him.
White Out, have you seen that?
Yes.
No, I've not seen that.
It's all right. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a few out there that you think, oh, that's a comic, isn't it?
But there are some good stuff that's come out of San Diego, I think.
Yeah,
the one I'm excited about, Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
It was a really good advert. I really like that.
Yeah. When the first one came out, a lot of people made the cheap, oh, it's like Inception, it does this or it does that. Yeah.
And it goes beyond that to me.
Yeah, I was thinking the second trailer will be the important one because the second one will be, you'll see him in costume kicking ass, and the effects will be, you know, they'll have more effects, and it just blew me away. That's
really. And he throws that cape on. I really like that moment.
Oh, God, I love that moment, yeah. And it had the obligatory new actor in a Marvel movie that has to have his top off. So you can see, so you can see how in shape he is.
Yeah. Wi-Fi password.
Oh yes.
Yeah, I'm going to be interested for that whole thing because you know we've been through that fucking shit with the Ghostbusters. We're going to go through that shit on the other side of it with Doctor Strange. I'm sure of it.
Yeah, people hate success, don't they? They just want to have a go at people, not complain.
Yeah.
Pouring through the fucking film, trying to find what to be pissed off about.
Yeah. at the end of the day. We're getting a big budget mainstream Doctor Strange movie.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Do you know what I mean? Now, I didn't think, when all this started, when Iron Man 1 came out, could you have possibly dreamt that Doctor Strange would be one of the ones?
Guardians as well. You know, you think, really?
Yeah. Well,
what about the TV series on Netflix we're getting?
Oh, yeah.
Luke Cage, Iron Fist.
Oh, they both look great. The adverts for both of them look amazing, yeah. The other one is a TV one that I'm really excited about. It's Ragman. It's going to be an Arrow.
Oh, the DC?
Is he?
Cool. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I love the original series, the Cubit stuff. Absolutely adored the art in that. And then he was in, what was it, series, a DC team book? Was it Shadow Pact? Yeah, I think he was in that as well. And that was a great little series. Really, like a nice little obscure character, but one that should work. And they released a couple of images, and he looks great. Looks really good.
Nice. Yeah.
Well, here's a question for you. What obscure sort of Marvel and DC character do you think would work as a sort of TV show? Because sometimes they pull a character out of nowhere, and I just think, hey, like Legion, for instance.
Here's one for me, Killraven.
Oh,
sci-fi TV series.
Cool.
I'd like that.
I would go for the Demon.
Yes. Yeah,
that's a good one.
I think that would be, you know, you can make something truly, especially with the sort of horror TV we're getting these days.
Yeah.
You could do something really scary. What would you like to see, Dan?
I'm coming up blank. I don't know.
if it's something where someone gets absolutely mullered, then damn
it. Yeah, that's fine.
You know what would make the best TV series ever? I think you'll probably agree with me. Lomax NYPD.
Yeah, that'd be fucking...
Yeah.
It's the best.
Yeah.
For those
he knows that's great women.
For those who don't know about Lomax, what is Lomax, Tony?
Well, I think I'll go into... I might do Lomax next week, so I'll keep my powder dry.
Pardon?
and I'll do Lomax next week as one of my choices for next week. I'll pick a particular issue, and we'll have a little talk about it. Yeah.
I tell you, Vince, maybe last week or this week, you retweeted someone who had picked up like these 80s small press comics called New Beginnings.
Yeah.
And I saved it, and I thought, I want to try and track them down. Because it looks fucking awesome, the covers.
Well, what are they? I can't remember what they do.
Oh, God.
They're like, I have to send it on to you, but there's basically like a dude in camos just like blasting people. And I'll send you the image now, see what you think of it. We'll put it up on the Facebook.
It's proper 80s small press comics, isn't it? That's totally is.
And I think you can, someone said they bought them all on eBay for like this like a job lot.
Yeah.
And that looks quality.
I'd
love to try and get hold of some old school small press comics.
Yeah, especially in those days when obviously you had the sort of big names like Cerebus was obviously a big one, wasn't it? And you had like Bone and all these major
Turtles.
But what else was there away from those
Oh, there's lots of stuff. Yeah. I think one that doesn't get talked enough about, which would make a great TV series, Elementals.
Yeah.
Which is a brilliant series.
The one that got really sort of hardcore and sexy?
Yeah, it got towards the end. They had like a swimsuit special, and there was bush in most episodes issues. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, to start off with, it's
sorry. Are you talking about George W?
No. Anyway, next week, everyone, if you like Lomax NYPD. And a fan of Atlas Comics, we're going to do a little one on them. So that should be
quite interesting. Look forward to that.
Yes.
Nice.
Anything else come out? Yeah, what else
SDC
come out?
Comic Con.
Well, we got the Kong trailer. Did any of you watch the new King Kong trailer?
No, I didn't see that.
Ah, you should. I watched it's the really good. It's giant monkey. Who doesn't love a giant monkey?
I love monkeys.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, Matt would be all over that, wouldn't he?
He would.
He's probably watched that loads of times, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like the last King Kong movie, Peter Jackson was just like playing my emotions all the way through the film.
I've not seen it. I thought it looked a bit boring. I'll be completely honest.
Bit when they're kind of running around in the island, all getting fucked up by the various things that live there. That's pretty interesting.
It does a Jurassic Park: The Lost World. When they're on the island, oh, this is fun and an adventure. They get off the island and it's just shit.
Does he go like ice skating with her or something like that? Is that what happens? I don't know.
Yeah, giant monkeys ice skating. You'd love it, Tony.
Oh, that's good. Oh, that sounds right.
Yeah. One of the big things that I'm excited about from San Diego, Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yeah, good.
Which I think has been one of the surprise sort of best comic book movies ever.
We had a little chat about that earlier, didn't we?
Yeah, Kurt Russell's going to be playing Ego.
Yes.
Yeah, but he's a human I don't know how they're going to work it, and he's not saying how, is he? But he's going to be a human-sized Ego, the Living Planet.
They have talked about it. Now,
have they?
Yeah, I just want to mention this. If you don't want to know about this, just put it on silent for about 30 seconds before I go into it. Yes, Ego, the Living Planet, is exactly when I found out Kurt Russell was going to be him. I mean, he said, Tony Esmond, you'll know about this. Ego, the Living Planet. Yeah. Who the hell is this? To which Tony said, well, he's a planet.
It's actually a planet, isn't it? They land on it and it's sort of the antibodies attack them and stuff like that. Yeah. But somehow he's going to be human sized, isn't he? And also his father. Is that right?
Yes. And he also, basically, Ego the Living Planet, from what I gather, takes on forms. He builds a human body in order to interact with humans.
With
he sort of takes part of their DNA so he can interact with them. Now, this is a very loose description of it. Of course, the film is going to do it much better than what I'm about to say.
Yeah,
right.
And one of the things that Peter Quill says, he says, what, you actually built yourself a penis? And Ego the Living Planet responds with, yes, and it's a pretty good one. And obviously when he was a human being, he then got with Peter Quill's mother, and there we have a Star-Lord.
In Hempstead.
But I know in the first Guardians film, they were talking about how Peter Quill comes from an ancient race of beings that they've never encountered before.
What, planets?
So I guess it's just a planet, isn't it? I mean, I must say I didn't expect...
I guess I presume there'd be a lot more in the film, kind of like playing that story out and see how it goes.
And Yondu's got like a thing on his head now, hasn't he, finally? He's got like
I was going to say, he turned up, didn't he? Because in the comic book, Yondu has got like a great big kind of fin on his head.
Yeah, and I think he's actually going to be more a proper member of the team this time.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, I think
he's a good actor, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's really good, Michael Rooker.
Yeah, Michael Rooker's great in it. And also, I don't know what he's going to play, but Sylvester Stallone's going to be in it.
No.
Interesting.
Yep.
It's going to be a creature that can't talk. Maybe he's going to be the new voice actor for Groot.
Well, they wouldn't need any sort of...
Maybe he's a sort of stick creature, just screams, Adrian. Adrian!
I think he's the closest we're going to get to a Tango and Cash 2.
Yes, that is.
That would be class, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Terry Hatcher's looking her age. That won't be any good.
I'll tell you one thing that kind of came out. I was a bit kind of dumbfounded with this. The Killing Joke animated film. I thought pretty much we were all on board that Killing Joke was, that's a cool comic. It was fine. But there's lots of problems with it, people have, apparently.
I know Azzarello shouted pussy at someone in the audience, didn't he, or something?
Did he? Wow, okay.
Yeah, if you go to Azzarello's Twitter feed, he says, look, no, I shouted at somebody shouted something, I asked them to repeat it, and then I shouted that they were a pussy for not repeating it or something.
Okay.
During the San Diego panel,
Well, there's a bit more spoilers again. I think there's a sequence where Batman starts having sex with Barbara Gordon.
I wondered that. That doesn't happen in the comic. I seem to have missed that part of it.
It seems that, from what I gather, they've built that up so that when the Joker does what he does to Barbara Gordon, Batman's got more of a relationship with her, so therefore his motivations are clearer, if that makes sense.
Right. Okay.
It annoys me because that kind of goes back to like he can only be affected if he's generally kind of he's been involved with it. You see what I mean?
Mm.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he be fucked off about that anyway?
He's fucking Batman. What's wrong with him? Yeah.
And he's like Jim Gordon's his best friend, and that happens to his that's his kind of ward, Batgirl. and his best friend's daughter. It's like that's enough of his involvement. Mm. And presumably the whole story is about him, the Joker's trying to break down Gordon. It's, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's, got it's like a lot of these sort of classic ones that get turned into animated features. They get a lot of press, but then I don't know, to me it seems like they die off a little bit shortly after coming out, and everyone watches it and then just sort of goes, oh, well.
Flashpoint was a bit like that, yeah.
Yeah.
It's sort of just disposable, kind of. You watch, it's done, one and done. You don't really need to see that again. And...
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I thought the same with the Dark Knight Returns, those two animated movies. I enjoyed them for what they were, but, you know.
To me, they're the best so far. I think they did quite well with that one.
I've only seen the first one, so I don't know what the second one's like, but I quite enjoyed those.
Yeah, my favourite DC animated movie is, what was it, Crisis on Infinite Earths, I think? The one where there's the one with the you know, the evil version of the Justice League. I've forgotten what that is.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
The Earth 2 one.
That is good, actually.
Yeah, that's the best one by far.
It's got Owlman. It's James Woods.
Oh, yeah. So good.
All-Star Superman's good, if you get a chance to
get that's a good one. We're just divulging into,
Well, it's in DC kind of absolutely dominating the animation side of it. I don't think there's any kind of doubt in that, really.
I don't think we see enough. I mean, maybe you do because you've got kids, but I think there's quite a lot going on animation-wise that we don't really see. I know the Avengers have had some quite good cartoons recently, haven't they?
I've quite liked them whenever I've caught,
Yeah, me too, yeah.
The Guardians cartoons are fine. Yeah, that's good enough. They got Spider-Man one.
Yeah, kids like the Spider-Man one, don't they? Because it's got Nova in and all this sort of thing as well, isn't it? Isn't Iron Fist in it as well, I think?
Yeah,
he's got Nova, Iron Fist, White Tiger, and a young Power Man. They've changed it now, where he's got all the different Spider-Man characters, like Miles and...
Oh, okay, yeah, that's cool. I like Miles.
They're all helping him out versus, I can't remember what, Sinister Six.
Right, okay, yeah. See, that's because you've got a saucepan in it, so you sit there and watch that, I suppose. I don't really,
A saucepan?
Saucepan lids, kids, yeah.
Oh, I see. Cockney wine slang. Apologies to any American listeners.
just for everything, to be fair.
Now, the next one, staying on the DC trip, I thought the Wonder Woman trailer was really good.
Yeah, I liked it. Apart from the bit where it all goes a bit sort of 1966 Star Trek, where she goes, "You are a man." You know, I'm thinking, right, here goes. Here you get the funky music. They're going to get it on the beach there. Let's do it. And it didn't quite go that way. But she's great. I do like her. I think she's really good.
Yeah.
I've got high hopes for that film. I hope it really kind of delivers.
The action set pieces looked extremely sort of impressive, I thought. I think Lexi Alexander, the director of it, is a very good director. I think she suffered a bit when she did Punisher Warzone,
I like that a lot.
No, I quite like that film.
I quite like that film, but it's fucking mental. And
the thing about that film is he doesn't... All the other Punisher movies, you have to shoot at the Punisher and he shoots back. In that, he just blows people away. Which is what the Punisher's about. And
he destroys someone's face with his fist.
Oh, I love that bit. Yeah. And is it Ray Stevenson? Is that his name?
Yeah.
He's a great choice.
Yeah.
He's a really good choice.
I thought he's the most perfect looking Punisher that we've seen. The film's good fun. It is bonkers. I think Jigsaw's brother, I could have done without him.
Big time. That was annoying.
Yeah, that was annoying. Another thing that I learned when I listened to the How Did This Get Made podcast, which is a brilliant podcast about movies and terrible movies and how they get made and stuff. They actually had her on talking about Punisher Warzone. Now, who is it that plays Jigsaw in that?
It's the bloke from The Wire,
Dominic,
isn't it?
It's Dominic Cooper. He wasn't the original choice.
Okay.
Now, she was told while she was filming it, the studio said, right, you have to see this actor and you have to give him a screen test. And she read the name and she thought, I'm not giving that person a screen test. And then they said, no, you have to do it. We were forcing you to do it. She did it.
Meryl Streep.
And she was blown away by this actor and then told afterwards, well, you can't have him. He's doing something else.
All right. Oh, now, they were playing off roles and stuff, were they?
Who do you think was this actor? You'll never.
Meryl Streep.
You'll never. No. No, she would have.
Neve Campbell.
No, she would have been amazing, though. Come on, Dan. Come on, Dan.
Give me a clue.
He does voices for a lot of video games, like Mass Effect 3 and Dragon Age 2. Dragon Age 2.
Oh, God.
No.
Is he in 30 Rock?
He was in films like I Know What You Got Last Summer. I still know... No, what you've got. STD yeah. from. No, I know what you did last summer. She's All That.
Oh, God.
God. I know that one.
Is he pass. At 90210? Is he in that?
I don't know.
Oh, no, is
she's
he?
All That.
Freddie Prinze Jr.
Oh, fuck me. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. Apparently, he did one of the best screen tests she's ever seen in her entire life for the role of Jigsaw.
Mental.
And this is the director of Wonder Woman.
Oh, God.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah. No, but she's pretty damn.
Sounds like an episode of Entourage. Someone's saying that, isn't it?
She's a really good director, actually. And I've got.
What else has she done?
She did Green Street.
Oh, God.
Oh, the hooligan one.
Yeah, the hooligan
Seriously?
One. Yeah.
Because I see Freddie Prinze Jr.
Have you
in
that?
Fucking. You see fucking Wing
Street?
Commander? No, I've never seen.
Oh, my God. That's. Oh, fuck.
And
that's
she
put me off seeing it now.
But you're saying
Green
that.
Green Street is the worst film. Oh my God!
She
but
did
Punisher Warzone.
Punisher
Warzone.
Know,
on the upwards streak.
I love Punisher Warzone.
Well,
so
there you
right.
go then, Tony. So she's 50-50. So
right, watch Green Street. I dare you to watch it. It's terrible. It's got the bloke who's in Pacific Rim and he's in what's the bike?
Charlie Hunnam.
Yeah, he's in it. He's a Geordie and he's pretending to be a Cockney and he sounds fucking Australian. And he's got that bloke who's a hobbit who just makes big eyes at everyone in the Hobbit movie. In the
You leave Elijah Wood alone. He's lovely.
And but he's meant to be like rock hard by the end of it. And you think, really?
Yeah, I can't see that.
Oh, God, it's terrible.
So thank you for listening to Breaking Down Tony Esmond. I think we managed it this
completely.
Week.
Yeah.
if only I know how to push your buttons now.
Yeah.
But that chap who plays Kirk in... Star Trek, playing opposite Gail Gardot, whatever it was. That might be interesting if she's kind of like super serious and he's kind of the lighter one because she's all business. So it might be an interesting kind of.
I think if these DC films have a sense of humour, then they're going to go a long way to building the bridge that.
So is that going to be like a prequel to what's happened before? Because I've not seen Batman vs Superman.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Just because I know he wants me to say Matt Harrow's brother-in-law is in Green Street 3.
What?
The dubious honour of being in Green Street 3.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Anyway, so there's lots of cool stuff coming out of San Diego Comic Con. See, we started ranting about lots of other things. I know you people out there love it. So this Christmas, we all have to send copies of Green Street to Tony Esmond.
Green Street 2 is quite good because Marina Sirtis is in it, and I spoke to her once about it.
What do you mean? She's what you spoke to her once, so therefore it's a good film. What is your?
No, I spoke
what
to
is,
her
what?
About Green Street 2.
That's
I mean,
Deanna Troi, wasn't it, from Star Trek TNG?
Yeah. What did she say, Tony? What did she say?
Oh, then we had to talk about her husband, and I said, "Wasn't he a stripper?" And she said, "No, no, darling, he wasn't a stripper." And I went, "Okay."
I tell you what, that was the best Marina Sirtis impression I've ever.
Have you ever heard Marina Sirtis talk? She does talk like that. She's from Tottenham. And
I saw an interview of her when she was talking about appearing in Death Wish 3.
Oh, and yeah.
Like, because basically she has to expose her boobs. Like, she said it was absolutely seedy, and Michael Winner basically made her say, like, you've got to do it. You've got
that
to take it off.
That explains the noise that Tony Esmond just made as well.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking, my copy of The Wicked Lady, where she exposed the boobs, got ruined because I kept pausing it. So,
I think the tape got fuzzy at that moment.
Yeah,
so I watched it.
I tried to take photographs using my Instamatic camera of the screen. out.
Instamatic, for all you kids out there, Instamatic isn't an app, it was an actual camera.
That's it. It's not Instagram. Millennials.
Yes, so San Diego, there was lots of cool stuff.
Not enough comics talk. I didn't see enough comics talk come out.
See, I haven't sort of checked out a lot of the comic sites to see if there's any comics news. You told me that the X-Men franchise is still alive in comics, and that pleases me.
They basically said take no notice of Bleeding Cool, didn't they? They said ignore that rubbish, and they've mapped it out for ages. Yet they've mapped out storylines and characters, and
someone at Marvel with the right kind of I don't know the attitude, you could just feed like those sites this bullshit story after bullshit story.
It's and like then, inventing.
They would
comics.
Just lose all their sting.
It's like they could just invent three comics and review them, just feed them out there into the space, you know.
Or to like leak a big event, like everyone's going to die or this is going to happen, then they make a big story out of it and then it goes nowhere. So it's not true.
Pretend there's an autobiographical comic that's really good by a Polish person.
What about a dog attacking someone's genitals? Should we do that?
No, we'll save that. Although that's a cracking book. Yeah, just a quick question. X-Men Universe, we all love it. If we all had the chance to write an X-Men series, it's obviously never going to happen. This is pipe dream stuff. Which series would you pick, Dan?
I don't know. I'd kind of like to write a story kind of focusing on Magneto and kind of like the nastier side of it, I would say.
Yeah. Nice, I can see that. Tony?
I would go classic new X-Men lineup, Byrne, Claremont.
Nice, lineup. Yeah.
I would write that. That's when I most loved it, I think. Yeah. Back when Cyclops was just the leader and a sort of honourable kid. And
Yeah.
Very good. I like that little run.
Yeah. I'd like to try something like Generation X. Bring Generation X back. I think that's always quite cool.
Back to the movie again. That's a movie I also like.
What, the TV movie with Matt Frewer?
That's it.
Well, you were saying about like First Class. I think First Class is a fantastic X-Men film.
Yeah.
Really good.
Definitely. Yeah. What were...
I've liked them all. Do you know what I mean?
I've not seen the third one. X-Men second was all right. It drifted a little bit, but I can't like...
Yeah,
it went back towards more what the other X-Men films were like, and but yeah, like it's fine.
It's Old Man Logan next, isn't it? We've got an Old Man Logan one. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these sort of movies, they're Old Man. It's going to be Old Man Logan in name alone. I think a lot of
them. Yeah, they kind of have the Hulks and all that sort of thing, can they? In it, I suppose. And
I thought Wolverine was great up until the ending. They just kind of. Seemed to like, oh, what the fuck are we going to do? I'll just put a big robot in it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like...
He's got it pinned down, Lee. I think as much as I was a bit worried about Hugh Jackman, I thought it was a bit too... I wanted Logan to be a bit of a runt, you know. That's the reason he never got the girl, and, you know, he's always sort of... And you got sort of a fairly sort of handsome guy to play him, tall, handsome guy. I was a bit dubious, but I think he owns it. I think, he's been great, is it?
Yeah, it's hard to think of that character on screen without it being Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huge jacked man.
That's why Dan loves it. San Diego, one of the things that happened at San Diego was the Eisner Awards. There's lots of well-deserving people at the Eisner Awards.
We had two guests nominated who sadly didn't win. Bob and Tilly, didn't we?
Yeah, well, you know, shame on the Eisners.
Yeah, definitely.
But we got to give them a high five for this one, because one of the winners was none more deserving than... Orbital Comics won an award.
Oh, so chuffed! Yeah.
Which award was it again? It was the
Spirit of Independent, something like that, wasn't it? Best Shop, essentially. Yeah. But yeah. Oh, so good! So pleased for them. I was over the moon. Yeah.
Yeah. They've been blown away by it, sort of, and the response, because as soon as the news came out, they were probably inundated and flooded with congrats. But it's anyone who's been in Orbital, and we've spoken about them a few times. And the events they do will know that they're well deserved.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, great, very supportive. I mean, I know we're going to talk about this in a minute, but there's not a box they don't tick, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah,
about what we're about to say about them. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. So, and speaking of comic book shops, we thought we'd talk about comic book shops a little bit this week. We've talked about an awful lot this week. We seem to be just rambling, but in the best and sexiest kind of way.
Yep.
But we wanted to, like, we talk about conventions and convention organisers and small press people being at tables. We wanted to sort of talk about the actual stores and what, you know, which ones are out there that people like, and what it's like going into these stores, and do you look for small press stuff? So basically that was just a general topic. And we also put a shout out to the listeners, what comic book shops out there that they like to frequent. We got some lovely responses, so thank you everyone who responded about all this.
Yeah.
Now, how should we start this off? Should we talk about Orbital Comics a little bit? Just say why are they so deserving of such
an honor? I've written a little list of things I look for in a comic book shop. It's sort of pecking order for me. And I think certainly I can refer to Orbital because it's obviously mine and Dan's local comic book shop. First, shall I list them? Is that right?
Just go for it, and then we'll go from there.
Okay, first off, for me, it's got to be a reliable, you've got to have a reliable pull list in there. I've got a pull list at Orbital. I moved there after I had a pull list at another shop, and I got let down a little bit by them. And I wanted somewhere, because I'm away with work quite a lot, so there might be 2 weeks where I'm not in the shop, and I want to make sure that, you know, I get those comics I'm, you know, reading. It's a serial hobby, isn't it? So one story leads into another, and I wanted to make sure that I got. And I think to be able to have a shop that not only, you know, you're 100% sure they'll be putting books away from you, and they're trustworthy, and, you know, but they'll also be adding little books that they think, oh, you know, this is a spin-off. They know their business so well. They'll say, you know, there's a new shout, I buy the Shadow, for example, anything with the Shadow into there. Oh, there's a new Shadow book, or he's appearing in this comic, or, you know, so they'll add that into my box, you know. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably most important for me. Yeah. Secondly, I would probably say that there's got to be some kind of sort of community feeling. I think if you're a surviving comic shop these days, and you're not one of the big names, the Forbidden Planets or the Travelling Mans, which are, you know, you've got to have and that involves, the community feeling involves friendly staff. You have to have events these days. I don't think you can get away with it, which includes signings and stuff. And you have to be supportive to local creators as well. I think all that's important. What do you think about that?
Do those fantastic life drawing classes.
Yeah,
they've got the gallery at the back that they have artists work up. You can go and see people's pages. They've got the small press stands. There's not just the kind of the like the Marvel DC comics. There's just a wealth of European stuff in the side room. They got the back issues. They got, I know you're not a big fan of, they got action figures. They didn't have too many Funko Pops, but then they just seem to have everything right. And then at the front, there's the till. It's like a great area for people to hang around, chat, and then they've got loads of leaflets, events. It's really well done.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned it, but back issues, I think it's important for people to, and that's a great place for back issues.
Yeah.
You know, people need to realise comics didn't start in 2010, you know. All this sort of, you know, people need to know, you know, even the sort of new sort of wave of favourite characters like Deadpool and the Guardians of the Galaxy and stuff like the Rocket Raccoon, they didn't start like 2 or 3 years ago. There's a bit of a history to them, you know. And there's so much great comics that, you know, stretches back 50 years that people would really enjoy. And I think you can't just have like a rack of new comics and new trades. I think you've got to be able to delve back in, you know. And also a lot of them very affordable these days as well, you know.
Yeah.
It blows my mind to think Rocket Raccoon's in a fucking, in a film, because I can remember reading it in the 80s.
Yeah.
And I could never imagine that this character would get where it's got, but there you go.
Yeah, true. Yeah, sort of blows your mind, doesn't it? Orbital, I mean, Orbital do have they've got the advantage, they've got that space, they're obviously slap bang in the centre of London. They can do all these different types of events. And, like, I do agree that smaller sort of comic book shops, they would benefit from having these events, but sometimes, and I know a lot of people out there will know this, when they walk into a comic book shop, especially if it's a local sort of bread and butter comic book shop, they don't have the space to do these sort of things. So what can they do if they're sort of, sometimes you walk into it and it's like the size of a room, isn't it? It's just one room.
Yeah.
What can those sort of stores do to try and get more people interested, do you think?
Yeah, interesting. I know that some places have rented out places next door, and you know, you can in the summer you can have events going on outside even. I know that Sidesy, when he did, I think, and he had a new comic out, he was telling me, Chris Sides, they took over their local comic shop, and they sort of, so they ran it for the day, and as part of that, they were promoting their comic. I think that's quite a cool little idea.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I know Comics in Melksham, the people that also are behind the Melksham Comic Con, that is that's a sort of quite a small pocket sort of comic book shop. It's like in a sort of, it seems to be a small tower. There's two levels in a very small tower. But they do things like they get involved with the local town. Do you know what I mean? They're doing lots of events.
Yeah.
And
the library as well. A lot of people get involved with the library these days, you know, and you can have signings there. Mm. A lot of, I know, you can get talks in, like, we do got look at Lancaster Comics Day.
Yeah.
You know, that was a comic shop involvement with the local creators and the library, and they used the library space still. That's a great idea.
Grinning Demon down in Maidstone obviously do the Demon Con.
Yeah.
So that's another event kind of being done and
I do love hearing about these little events. You know, I think if you're in a small town, comic book shops, they sometimes they're not always the most inviting when you walk into them. Do you know what I mean? Because it's such a niche sort of thing. Sometimes. So I think whatever you can do to get involved with your local community and to get out there and give them, you know, it just, it's going to bring people in, isn't it? Especially, you know, for kids as well. If you can do events that are going to bring kids into your shop, they're going to badger their parents into like getting loads.
Yeah, getting a comic or two.
Yeah.
I think the more I see now, the more that comic shop owners and managers are not, it's not like a 9-to-5 job anymore. It really isn't. I think they've got to have events at night. You know, they've got to get involved with other things. You know,
they've got to do online sort of sales, don't they?
Definitely. Yeah. And they got to have another string to their bow. They can't just be a shop with a stream of, you know, regulars who come in and buy the comics, because that will dwindle. Yeah. You know, you have to somehow encourage other people. Or you've got to have, I don't know, a gaming section or, a, you know, like Orbital have got an exhibition centre at the back, you know, and that gets people in. Yeah. You know, small press is a big way to get footfall into your shop these days, with small press being so popular. Having that shelf of, you know, and sometimes you can send your comics into a shop and they'll sell them for you, and they're not actually buying them, they're just taking a cut, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's not like a huge expense, it's just the space on the wall that you've got to sort of find out, you know?
Yeah.
So, it's interesting when you mention size, like, I can remember, it's not there anymore, but Time Trek in Bromley, they used to be my years, and that was like a fucking shoebox.
You couldn't walk around if someone else was in there, could you?
Essentially, it was like a circuit. You went in the door and you went round the shop anti-clockwise because you couldn't go back. You couldn't go clockwise because you wouldn't get past it. And like, it was so dense to the point like you had trouble kind of bending down to see the lower shelves because there was so much stuff in there. But I used to love it. But there was, I can remember people walking in the shop and it would be like, okay, we'll go back out then, because it was full and people were just not going to put up with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I think the Grinning Demons are a bit on the large. I haven't been down there in quite a few years now. But I always remember one of the first comics, the first big kind of American comic book shop I went into was the Phantom Zone down in Croydon.
Okay, I never went to that one.
It was in two places. I think it was, there was a kind of shop in Centre Arcade called In Shops at the time. This is years ago. And then they moved it up into its own premises. And that was great. I remember going in there and seeing Akira on the...
Yeah.
The VCR setup they had at the time, and that was just absolutely blowing my mind, because I'd never seen anything like that at the time, and I kind of got into manga and anime for a bit, but kind of still kept on with the Western stuff.
Yeah. When you're really...
Go on, mate. Sorry.
No, you go. You know, you go.
I was going to say, what was your first comic shop, Vince? What was the first one you started going to?
It was Floppy Tongue Comics in Salisbury.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Which is it was a fantastic little store. When I was a kid, you know, I had to get on the train for like half an hour and then walk for 20 minutes to get there. But, you know, when you're a kid who loves comic books and all of a sudden there's a shop dedicated to them with back issues and stuff. You know, this wasn't a huge store. And, you know, I remember going in there when, for instance, the Todd McFarlane figures were just starting to come out, and they were like the most beautiful, like, looking action figures you'd ever seen in your life when they first came out. You're like, oh my god, they're making toys like this now, and there's all of these, you know. It was the 90s explosion, that's a lot of the time when I was in there. I remember I used to like looking for the sort of strange titles that, you know, not necessarily the mainstream stuff, but I remember when they had a sale and I picked up loads and loads of Malibu comics.
I used to like them. Yeah.
Like Prime. Prime. Oh, that was so good. You know, and I picked those up because it seemed like no one else sort of cared about them. Do you know what I mean? It was like, you know, everyone's got these mainstream ones, but here are these comics that I've got that no one else has. So Floppy Tongue Comics was amazing. I remember when I was talking to Mark Lamming when we were at Thought Bubble. No, it was London Super Comic Con, actually, catching up with him there, and he said Floppy Tongue, and I couldn't believe that he knew where I was talking about. I got a little bit closer to that man, and then he told me to go away because we were in the toilets at the time.
my first one was the Globe Comics. I mean, I think I mentioned this before, but I was a boarding school boy, so I was from London, but I was living in a boarding school in Ipswich, and my mate said to me, I eventually admitted I was into comics, you know, to someone, and he said, oh, you know, there's a comic shop in Ipswich, and I was like, fucking, this like blew my mind, you know, and. Mm. So I legged it down there, and that was proper backroom comic shop. You actually had to go in a door, up some stairs, along a corridor, and then there was a comic shop at the back, which was, I'm going to say, a little bit full of maybe funny-smelling smoke.
Yeah.
It was a bit like that. And this was during I think Paul Smith was on the X-Men, so it was just early 80s, that sort of period. And, you know, there was like 10 pence for a comic, and in the, you know, it was all Bronze Age stuff. And the bloke just like blatantly ignored me whenever I asked him anything, you know. Yeah. And I used to sort of hang about in there for hours. And that, I mean, to go from like cycling around newsagents trying to find comics.
Yeah, exactly. That's what my experience. Yeah.
To go to a shop and they were literally laid out in front of you, and you're like, oh my God, this is like amazing.
Yeah.
You know, it was like a huge experience for me. Yeah, very important.
I was going to say, we've mentioned on shows, but like looking around newsagents for a fucking copy, just waiting for it to turn up.
Yeah.
And then going to a shop, it's like, well, here's 10 copies of that one. And there's tons of other stuff you haven't seen before.
Yeah. Oh God, yeah. What was your first one, Dan? When did you pop your cherry in the comic book?
Well, I was saying, yeah, there's that Phantom Zone in Croydon. It's just it's such a great... It actually turned up on the bill. Remember an episode of The Bill where...
Oh, did it? Okay.
In Phantom Zone, yeah.
Amazing. Well, speaking of Croydon, let's give a shout-out to some of the ones that some of our listeners have sent in. Now, let's start with Rick Jackson. He's always liked A Place in Space in Croydon. Now, I've seen them at some cons. They're LSCC.
That's a good shop, actually. Yeah, they sort of specialise in sort of variant covers and stuff like that. But, I mean, they had a great back issue section. And it was down at where the tram stopped in Croydon.
Yeah.
Where they'd be. Yeah.
It's frustrating because they had, like, a decent Forbidden Planet. And then Forbidden Planet, Weather of Wisdom, they decided to pare it down. And essentially, this just down the road from A Place in Space. But all they do is really action figures and merchandise stuff.
Yeah.
But A Place in Space, they kind of joined up... There was another shop in the middle. I'm not sure if that's still the case, but next door they used to do like internet access, and you could play games in there. And
that's right,
exactly what you said.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah.
They used to flog original artwork as well.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. Right.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's got it quite a lot. Yeah.
Ah, nice. And Rick also likes. He's recently discovered Ray Gun Comics. Have you heard of them?
Yeah, there's one in Richmond, I think, and one in Dalston. Yeah.
Ah, there you go. Simon Russell. He said it must be page 45. Some good challenges now, but they started the Grown Up Comic Shop and still work tirelessly on it. The Grown Up Comic Shop. What is you can't say anything great. You can't say anything grown up about this show.
No, but, please don't.
I've yet to be in page 45, but I keep hearing a lot of good things.
Yeah,
about
I've
them.
Been in there. Yeah,
yeah. Chris Imber. He said he goes to Super Shakes in Burton. Which is actually a milkshake store as well.
Yeah.
Amazing. Really? Amazing service, friendly and knowledgeable. The friendly bit goes an awful long way, I think.
He posted up the menu board one day, and it was like X-Men flavoured milkshakes.
Oh, we got to go there, lads.
It was like the Cyclops one, the Storm one, and they had all the different ingredients.
What would be the most disgusting X-Men milkshake?
Oh, Sandman milkshake.
That's not an X-Men.
Oh, sorry. It's hard to know with the Inhumans, isn't it, anymore, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it be? Gotcha.
What about Golden Balls? Golden Balls.
That's filthy.
You do a daredevil one, you just stick anything in it.
Oh, yeah.
What about the ringer? Oh, no.
The shocker? Anyway. So that one's cool. I know he's posted up a few sort of little events that they do, and that seems really cool. Milkshakes and comic books. Comic books. That's just a winning combo, isn't it?
Yeah, and he said nostalgia in comics as well. Did he?
Nostalgia in Birmingham.
That's a great shop as well. That's good. Yeah, I like it in there. Yeah, always try and pop in there if I'm in Birmingham. Very good. Yeah.
Nice. Ken Reynolds. We've just spoken about him, but he likes Central City Comics in Ipswich.
Yeah, that's the one that took over from the Globe. Actually, I have been there, and it is very good. Yeah.
He said, "Been in the town over 25 years. Support small press as much as customers allow." Which I think is quite an important point, actually. We always talk about, get your small press comics in these shops, and it's great when small press is supported by these shops, but also it's a business at the end of the day. You can't expect a tiny sort of shop to stock nothing but small press comics, because that probably isn't going to get a lot of the general punters.
I'd like to give a little shout out to Krypton Comics in Walthamstow, which I do a little pilgrimage to 3 or 4 times a year, and they have the best back issue section ever. Absolutely brilliant. Yeah,
you love a back issue.
I do love a back issue. Yeah.
Matt Garvey, he wanted to show a DV Comic Shop some love. They stock small press, and they take a punt on small press creators, so that's good. Robin Jones. He said the ever awesome Intercomics in Huddersfield are ace.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So apparently the owner's a Charlie Brooker lookalike.
Okay.
And a legend. That's quite a lot of things to say.
That's nice.
And those people over there in Australia, Mike Garvey, there's a lot of people with Garvey, Garley, all that sort of thing. But thank you for listening, Mike. He said the fantastic Secret ID comics here in Brisbane definitely ticks all three of the boxes of like being friendly, knowledgeable, and supporting small press, which is brilliant. It's good to know that like stores all over the world are fighting the good fight, really. John Late, Level 8 Comics, his local comic shop, The Hide and Geek in Worcester, is brilliant. He says stocks indie books and supports creators with signings and etc., which is quite cool.
Cool.
I've never been to a signing in a shop. I've never like
really
no
really
yeah.
I don't think so. No.
You have been. You went to one with me, Dan. We went to the Singing Dragon one.
Of course we did. That one stuck.
He was having too much fun with you, Tony. That's what it was.
Yeah, we were taking selfies everywhere.
Yeah. It was me laughing at that book. No, where's that, Matt? What did that dude say?
I've been
touching bodies.
That's it, yeah.
All I mean, that guy looked at each other.
Because you were on the other side of the room by that point, weren't you? You were in the corner, and all I could see was you giggling. And then you kept texting, saying, did you hear what he just said? I'm going to go.
Dan, you grown up. But in terms of signings and stuff, no, I've never been to one or had one at a shop. Do you know what I mean? I know there's quite a few, especially with Small Press Day. I know a lot of people were out there at their local comic shops and stuff. And I hope that you did well. So, yeah. What's it like at a signing, Tony?
Oh, it's brilliant, mate. It's the best thing ever. It's like sex, but better.
Well, Dan couldn't remember.
Yeah. We've got Matt Strott as well, as mentioned. Amazing Spiral in Baltimore.
Oh, he says
they have great sales and back issues and a good indie selection. We'll be getting to him in a minute, I believe.
Awesome. And Sarah Harris, she gave us a very lengthy response on the Facebook. But Proud Lion in Cheltenham and Excelsior in Bristol are her favourite local-ish shops. Excelsior is a really good little shop, actually. That's probably the one that closest to me that I would go to.
I said, now that Sarah's been brought up, I've got to give her the biggest massive shout out. Yeah. She made an action figure for Vanguard of the character Jordana, who's kind of like the main hero at the moment. And she's made like an action figure. Yeah, kind of like modded it. It's so good. I was absolutely blown away. Cheers, Sarah.
She asked me and Tony, we got a bit of a work in progress, and we both said that Dan will shit himself when he sees it. Dan, what happened when you saw it?
I was out Saturday, so I didn't see it till like last night. I thought, I'll save it and open it Sunday morning. And then
Because we asked you if you had a shit on the WhatsApp group, Ron, and you replied, a massive one. My legs crumpled. And I collapsed on the floor, my body jolting like there was a charge running through the floor. Yeah. That's what you said. There you go. Write that down.
That's what I said, yeah. I was a fan.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it, yeah. Pleasurable experience.
Yeah, so brilliant stuff. Proud Lion and Excelsior, she says, they're both super friendly, always happy to recommend new stuff on my like. Don't treat me like some kind of second-class citizen just because I don't have a willy.
Always a bonus.
Unlike a few other shops I could mention, where I am sure I hear them mutter "Burn the witch" when I walk in.
Just bring one in a jar next time.
He said either of these shops requires a 45-minute drive from my house, but it's totally worth it for the warm welcome and expertise. I would rather take the trek than visit the shop in my actual town any day, as I just don't feel welcome there.
It might be broad strokes, but back when I remember visiting comic shops, it was like the person on the till would essentially be a bit of a nerd, a bit of a geek, and like the social kind of skills are just absolutely lacking. Yeah. Whereas nowadays, when you go in and talk to people, they're kind of well up and well friendly, and they know what they're talking about.
I went into Mega City in Camden, which I do occasionally, and I quite like it in there. It's quite a good little shop. And occasionally people don't, they just ignore you down on the till, pay your money. And he was saying, oh, here's a convention, you're thinking of going to this? And he was telling me, oh, this guest is going to be there. And I thought, oh, I don't really want to speak to you, mate, but I think that was a nice effort. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know how misanthropic I am, but yeah, I thought, oh, nice effort. Yeah, nicely done.
Well, I mean, usually, like, you don't want to talk to till people, but
yeah.
We don't want to talk to anyone, really, do we?
Yeah.
No, not really.
But if you're a till person, get in touch with us. Now, Sarah also said there was another plus point for Excelsior. The nice chappy in there gave her a discount today because she said she was glad he wasn't dead. And he said, that's the nicest thing anyone has said to him all weekend.
That's nice.
She added, that sounds to me like he sets his bar fairly low, but I took the discount anyway.
Poor guy, what kind of fucking things get said to him all weekend?
Yeah. I don't know, because I thought he was dead.
That's why no one's been in there. Yes. And as another PS, you want to give another shout out to the North on our shamefully London-centric show, Smiley Face. Yep. Next week, she'll be up in Manchester and can't wait to go back to Travelling Man.
Oh, yeah, I like it there, yeah.
Yeah, the Travelling Man, who have many stores. They've got quite a few. I think, is it Bolton? They've got one in Leeds.
Okay. Yeah, it's not Newcastle one, is it? I'm not sure.
I think there might be a Newcastle one as well. Yeah, I think there's four stores up north. Another rare shop where they're actually prepared to look me in the eye and talk to me about comics as if I am an actual human being. The staff there are always hot with their recommendations, and they never failed me yet. You can tell they have actually bothered to read the stuff they sell. Yeah. That always goes.
If Sarah walks into your shop, get afraid.
Offer her a discount.
She'll come and look you in the eye and ask you about comics.
Yeah.
And if you don't know, God help you.
Yeah. You don't have any encyclopedic knowledge.
Yeah, you're in trouble.
You're in big trouble.
She knows we love her. She knows we love her.
But Travelling Man, you know, I've heard a lot of good things about Travelling Man. They have a lot to do with Thought Bubble as well.
Yeah, so. If I'm in Manchester, it's only a short walk from Manchester Piccadilly. So if I'm a bit early for a train or something, I'll walk around the corner. It's a good little shop, yeah. Mm. Yeah, definitely.
Nice. There's plenty of stores there all over the country that I'll never get to, but I hear your shops are quite nice.
It's weird because there's a couple of people who didn't mention names of the shops, but the reason, the number one reason I saw people not going to that shop is the poor service.
Yeah.
Yeah, that does
constantly brought up all the time. Yeah. Like, it wasn't like there's too many Funko Pops, so they don't store back issues. It's all the ones I read were like the service will not be treated right.
Yeah, I think you hear a lot of stories about people that work in comic book shops. No, I'm not stereotyping a lot of shops here, because obviously we've heard about fantastic stores there. But you do hear stories of some that they're almost tucked in their own personal bubble. It's almost like they ignore the fact that it's a shop and they should deal with people. And like, if anyone comes in, they're sort of a bit off with them. Like, why are you here?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we're crossing the line now where it used to be people were just so socially inept. You know, the ability to communicate with someone was like a problem. But I think we're almost crossing the line now where people think they're cool as shit because they work in a comic shop.
Well, one of the greatest stories of this recently was in an American store. You'll know the one I'm talking about. Where one of the editors of Marvel... Which editor was it?
Tom Brevoort, wasn't it?
Tom Brevoort, I believe. He went... the guys that are working in this comic book store, they all were sitting around looking at their own portfolios, giving each other a portfolio critique. And he said one of them looked quite good. This is one of the editors of Marvel, quite a big hitter. And he went over to check out what they're doing, and they just told him to go away.
Yeah, too
did
right.
He say, "Can I take a look?"
Yeah, he asked. Oh, do you mind if I have a look? And they talked to him like he didn't deserve to look at it.
Here's a story for you then. When I was about 14, 15, I went into a comic shop in London, which is now gone. And I asked for, do they have any Usagi or Jimbo? And the bloke just laughed in my face and then ignored me.
What?
Yeah, literally. And for years I thought, am I saying that wrong? Is it something, you know?
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
That's...
Fucking hell. People are just rude, aren't they?
And that was the origin story of how he became Tony.
He became such a misanthropic serial killer.
Good old Usagi Yojimbo. Never. What happened to Stan Sakai?
Still going. Great. Yeah, still really good. You'd like the recent. It's really good run at the moment, and there was a stage play which I saw recently, which is very good. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they did a stage play of it. Yeah.
Where was that?
Was it the Southwark Play? Is it Southwark Playhouse? The one up near the Elephant and Castle. It ran there for a couple of months. I got a freebie to go and see.
How did they do the? Did someone like wear some ears? How did they do?
Sort of slightly, sort of interpretive, you know.
Yeah.
And the sort of
best
way
to be, really. You can't try to do a whole suit, can you?
You can't really be a rabbit, can you? Yeah. The
Okay.
So yeah, no, it's good though. It was a little bit of an education in sort of the history of Japan as well, and yeah, it was good, really, really good. Yeah.
Nice.
And but as the audience walked in, there was one of these sort of, I'm always slightly wary of this sort of thing where they try and get the audience to join in, but I usually fucking hate that, to be fair. But this is quite good. This is all right. It was not too painful. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say similar. What I took my wife to see Lord of the Rings stage show a couple of years ago, and there were people like going around in the audience as orcs and looking through people's bags.
Yeah, fuck all that.
And look on my face must have been like fucking death because they didn't come anywhere near us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dan Butcher is very approachable in real life, by the way.
Yeah. But don't do that fucking the acting shit. Nah. Like you said, a Jedi interpretive dance.
Yeah. Fuck off. Don't. I've just got that face where he obviously thought, I'm going to speak to him no matter what, even though I was giving him that look. Do you know what I mean? And I said, don't speak to me, mate. Just don't speak to me. Yeah.
So, listeners, don't speak to either of these two in public. But if any of those comic book shops are near you, then please do check them out. You know, because they sound like comic book shops doing it right. So, there you go. And you never know, you might bump into one of us there.
You might do. I'm always in Norbital. Oh, gosh. Gosh is another great place. Let's not do this. Oh, yes.
Yeah,
in there.
Oh, God, no. Yeah.
Good people. Yeah.
And but we are not good people. And there is a reason we're not good people. Evil. We are evil. We are horrible. Have you ever seen the film Hocus Pocus? Then we are like the witches from that film.
Who's the sexiest witch in that, do you reckon?
It's Sarah Jessica Parker, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're weird.
What? Do you like Bette Midler?
Yeah, Bette Midler's much sexier than Sarah Jessica Parker.
What, in that
film?
I
was shocked to find out it was Sarah Jessica Parker years after the fact.
I know.
She's heavily kind of daubed in makeup.
Oh, okay. Who's the third one then? I don't know.
I can't remember her name, but I know she's been in a lot of things. Anyway, so basically, we are more evil than those witches in that classic Hocus Pocus. And there's a reason for that, and that is the competition that we...
We did.
That we gave out. Now, you guys didn't know there was a competition coming because of the evil, evil thing we did. What did we do, Tony?
We invented three comics.
Yes.
Complete inventions. Yeah, they don't have any reality in any shape or form, and we made them up.
Regular listeners will know that we have a little section at the beginning where we talk about the reads, and we have some recommendations at the end of the show as well. Now, that is the basic formula that we've always had through all of the shows. And one week, we decided it would be funny to just make up some books.
Mm-hmm.
And see, it was kind of a challenge to ourselves to see if we could convince, to do it convincingly.
Yeah, it was interesting if anyone was going to call us out on it.
Yeah,
we were pleased. I almost sort of, you know, it was like a heist movie, wasn't it? Yeah. We were pleased when nobody called us out on it. We thought, we've got away with it. And some people favourited stuff and retweeted it for us and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
We thought, this is good. This is going well.
We went proper method actors on this. Yeah. But we didn't do it, like, thank you to everyone that continued listening after we've talked about this.
I literally did it for one episode. I can't say we'd ever not do it again, but...
Yeah.
It was just a one-off.
We've just done this for fun, and some of the ideas, I think people want these books to actually exist.
Yeah, people did say that in some of the replies, didn't they? Yeah.
Well, we did spend a lot of time fleshing them out, didn't we?
Yeah, we spent more time fleshing out these books than we did actually talking about the books that we normally talk about every week. yes, but because we were going to announce this, we've sat on this for quite some time, this little bit of knowledge, we decided it'd be fun to have a competition and give away some prizes. Now, as the week has gone on, the prizes have got even better.
Yeah, I've got them in front of me, some of them.
So what can people get, Tony?
Well, we've got two winners. We won't announce them quite yet, but they'll each be getting a Mark Lamming variant cover from Dynamite. There's a couple of variations on it, but there's a couple of Flash Gordons, a Justice the Avenger, and a Lone Ranger Vindicated, all signed by him. Then I think you guys are doing something, aren't you? Or?
We're going to do a sketch each.
Yeah.
So we'll do, there'll be two sketches each, won't there? Because you had to guess all three.
Yeah. A lot of people got one right, didn't they? And somebody got two right, but two people got them all right. And it was a lovely bit of detective work by these two guys, because they basically went through every single link on the show notes, didn't they, to figure it out, which is really good.
I've got to give a shout out to Paul Moore, who's a brilliant artist, who said, I love this, but I'm not listening to the past 10 episodes. I'm not going to do that again.
Yeah. Fair play.
You could have gone through the show list.
Yeah.
I know one of the guys who won said, Matt said it. He said, look, he says, I would make a little mental note to look books up because they sound interesting and I want to look at them, see if we're going to buy them. And that's where, you know, and then when we said three, we went, oh, right. And then he went back and had a look at them all. But yeah, very good.
So
we're going to reveal the titles.
So there you go. We had one book that we created each. And what were the answers? What were the three imaginary books?
Okay, I'm here. So Dan's imaginary book was Theo's Therapy,
which was so good we forgot.
Forgot he was doing it. Yeah, I thought, what's he doing? Is he not going with the script on this one? And then and then, to be fair, they're all in episode 50. We were playing with your minds a bit when we said they're in the last 3 weeks, but the last 10 weeks. But yeah, they're all in episode 50. Vincenzo's was Cornelius Crumpet and the Great Moon Robbery, which he immediately said he wants to actually make.
I have actually started writing.
Nice. Cornelius Crumpet is what he calls his private parts.
Yep.
And then mine was, because I like to think that I probably do quite a few up your own arse type comics. So I mentioned them, don't I?
He means highbrow comics, not comics that you put up your arse.
Well, you can do, I suppose. But yeah, you're right. So I decided to go with the most up your arse title I could think of, which Dave White did, because Dave was in on the secret. I'll let Dave in on it. And he did say he spat his coffee out when he heard me read out Cliches of Predestination. What a load of old shit that was. By a Polish creator who was apparently into snuff sex, I think. But there you go. That's what it sounded like if you listen to it. But yeah. We had two winners, Luke Schofield and Matt Strott. Well done, you two guys. Brilliant detective work. Yeah. Nicely done. Yeah.
Email us your addresses and we will get packages out.
We'll probably send them after Bristol, won't we? When we're all meeting up, we can stick them all in the same package and send them off, can't we? And nice one.
So there you go.
I just want to give a quick shout out because Mike Bromage, the artist on Dust Piggies, did the cover for.
You've got a fake cover, Theo's
Therapy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to say that more of my artwork is from me, the doodles I do during the show, because I tend to sort of doodle. I'm no artist. And I think, because you two, you can tick both boxes, can't you? You can make up a comic and actually do a fake cover for it. And I was thinking, how am I going to do this? And I'd like a little notebook full of doodles, so that what you can see is actual just crap that I draw in the book when I'm listening to you two talk.
Yeah. Oh, that's lovely, isn't it? You don't listen to us. But we created Tumblrs, we created Twitter accounts. And thank you to everyone for the positive feedback we had.
Vince has got a movie deal out of his.
I have. Yeah. Tom Hiddleston's going to be a Cornelius Crumpet. So there you go.
Well, apparently the straight Tom Hiddleston, you mean? The one who's going out with Taylor Swift.
There's only one. next Bond, calling it. Yes, so there you go. Thank you very much to everyone who actually sort of tweeted us. There were a couple of people that got a few answers right, but they didn't get all three. I just want to actually say thank you for your entry, but Stranger Things is a TV series on Netflix.
It killed me. I can't remember who said it, but mentioned it last week's show. It's a TV show on Netflix.
Yeah,
and John Leighton texted me with, "Oh, you lot are wankers. What about this one anyway? Could it be this one?"
Yes. So we may do it again in the future, but it won't be. Don't worry, it won't be for a long time.
We might do something else. It might not be the comic we'll make up. Might be something else.
Our friendship. That's what
we'll be. Yeah. We like to keep you on your toes.
Yeah.
Playing the long con.
It is like Ocean's 11, isn't it? On here.
Our names are not Tony, Dan, and Vince.
My name is Barbara.
I'm Margaret.
Oh, you look like Margaret.
Thanks.
I like that.
Yeah. What does Dan look like?
Oh, I don't know, actually. Veronica.
Yeah. Oh, that is weird. Oh. That was exactly the name I was thinking of.
As important as Dan.
I'm mentally high-fiving you right now. And that would be an event. And speaking of events, what have we got, Tony?
We haven't called him on this week, Dan. It's getting worse, mate. I tell you, this we need some kind of intervention.
I think it's fucking gold. We've been listening to like classic episodes of fucking Tony Blackburn and
Smashy and Nicey.
Yeah.
Right, that's for old people. That's a joke for people who are over 80. Remember Smashy and Nicey. Okay, right, Bristol Comics Expo is the 6th of August, and it runs between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. It's at the Doubletree by Hilton, Redcliffe Way, Bristol. And it will be past show guest Dave Broughton, who has done quite an insulting picture of us, which I quite liked.
Yeah, that'd be good Facebook.
Yeah, that's going on Facebook. Lou Stringer, who I must have another beer with, and we must get him on the show. Really, really interesting guy, Lou. Great, great company. Alan Davis is there, and he's done a sort of John Carter print. I think you sent me a picture, didn't you?
Yes, there's going to be a limited print. I think there's only going to be like 25 or something like that.
Wow, looks really nice. See, I'm a big Edgar Rice Burroughs fan, so I might try and grab
them. And I'm
a
huge Alan Davis fan. How many Alan Davis fans are there in the world?
He's a dude.
Many.
Yeah.
Rob Williams, 2008 Marvel writer, is going to be there, and a whole bunch of small press guys. Please get down there. Hellbound Media, Dave Brown, Paul Griss is going to be there. Lee Garbett, John M. Burns, who's really, really classic sort of English artist, is going to be there. Really good stuff.
And I am launching the third issue of the Red Mask from Mars at Bristol Expo. Yeah.
Yes, which is well worth getting, mate. And I think that cover that's the best. I think we had a chat about your cover, didn't we? It looks brilliant.
Oh,
I like the way you've done that.
Is that
store.
The four?
The cover for issue four is done. You will only be able to see it in the back of issue three because it contains a bit of a spoiler to what happens in issue three. So
Yeah, really. I loved that. I think that's my favourite cover, that four one. That's
pretty good. Really good.
Thank you. Thank you. Anyway, carry on.
Okay. Go and buy that then. On the 13th of August, between 1:30 and 5:30 p.m. is Comic Creators Day number 3 at the Cartoon Museum, which is 35 Little Russell Street in Central London, WC1A2HH. And it will be Mark Buckingham from Fables and Miracle Man and many other things, Spider-Man stuff, and Laura Howell, who works in the Beano. And what they do is they have a sort of Creators Day and they talk through the new acquisitions they've got as part of the museum. It's a cool little place. We talked about it last week. Get down there. And then the final one is the 27th to the 28th of August between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. is Melksham Comic Con, Melksham Assembly Hall in Melksham. At it will be Ian Churchill, Gary Erskine, Marcosi are going to be there, the Big Punchers will be there, Descending Outlands, yay, Red Master of Mars, Jenny Gilblad and her sandwich accidents, Reckless Hero. Tom Ward. Is Sam launching his new book by then? Is he?
Yeah, Sam will be launching Unfamiliar Skies at Melksham. So.
Okay.
Nice. Cool.
The Maniacs from Attic Studios and a whole bunch more. That's a good little con, that, actually. You're doing both days, or you do?
I am indeed, and it's a good sort of family event as well. There's an awful lot.
Good little venue. Yeah, I really liked it last year. Yeah, so I'll probably head down for that. And that's it for the events. But yeah, there's a few. I think there's a few crappy ones. I'm not going to mention them by name, but there's a few when I would have mentioned them because they do have a couple of comic guests there, but when you click on them, it's all fucking Red Dwarf people and stuff like that. So,
we've mentioned all the important ones, haven't we?
We have. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. Okay. Yeah.
Do we have any shout-outs this week?
I don't think I've got. My only one was Orbital, but yeah, I think we talked about them. Well done, guys.
Just want to give a shout-out to Mike Garley and his family, which has been extended by one. So,
congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations to Mike and his lovely wife, who is bedridden for the next few weeks. So, and Mike's not going to be able to make any cons for the next couple of months, but I always say family first. You know, the rest of this shit can come afterwards, but... Yeah,
if you go to Mike's store on his website as well, if you go to mikegarley.com, he's got a sale on.
Yeah, if you use the code, I think it's baby20.
Baby20, there you go. Yeah,
and I had to laugh because when he showed the picture of him with his new baby, I think his daughter is now, I think. Yeah, he looked quite tired and he said her name was going to be RoboCop.
Good choice.
Yeah, and RoboCop is a fantastic film. And another place the way you can go to find out about fantastic films and superhero stuff in general is the wonderful A Place to Hang Your Cape. It's the place to go if you like your superhero TV. They've got, with San Diego, we waffled on far longer than we thought we were going to about it.
So there's
plenty of stuff, plenty of articles for these guys to talk about. And it's very thought out articles on there, reviews of the latest TV shows, etc. AP2HYC, always great guys, always very supportive of the show, as are pipedreamcomics.co.uk. If you read your comics digitally, like a lot of us do, Tony's starting to more and more. He's leaving his cave occasionally and just to get a Wi-Fi signal so you can read some digital comics. they've got the lowdown on the latest digital releases, indie, small press. They've got their created sort of magazine, fanzine, The Pool List, which is worth checking out. So go to pipedreamcomics.co.uk. And where will we be in this world? Well, we actually wouldn't be anywhere, because we'd probably be dead without...
That's how we met.
Yeah,
down the tubes.
Hey.
Yeah. What do you mean, that's how we met?
Oh, no, it was Beard Rock, wasn't it? Beard Rock's gone down. Oh, I looked at it the other day. Well, it doesn't seem to be going. I think I was supporting it, and it's gone.
You know, how can you have a steak and ale pie without the steak? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, as soon as you left, Tony, you know.
I know. Well, that's where I first reviewed... Because, you know, you get these memories on Facebook. You know, I clicked on it.
I actually have memories in real life as well, just in case.
Yeah. I'm just a computer. But that was when it came up the other day as the review I did of your first issue. And I thought, I'll click on that, see what I wrote about that pile of rubbish. And it was... it's all gone down, which is a shame. But yeah, the place that goes down the tubes now, top place. I love John had a cracking rant about selling British comics the other day, which was just spot on. And talk about a man with experience, rant it is John. Do you know what I mean?
It's a real interesting place to like the kind of does the Facebook comic group, and like he's brought up subjects for debate and people to talk about, and there's some real interesting stuff. Yeah. Gets quite heated.
He's got a few plans, which he let me know about recently, which he's not revealed yet, but there's a few plans going on. Watch this space around, John. Yeah, very good stuff, interesting stuff.
Yeah, and I've got to say thank you to John as well, because he talked about a brilliant artist recently, and I discovered them through his Twitter link, and he's put me in contact with him. It may be a future guest.
Nice one.
Yeah. I'll tell you about it after the show. You may think, not having him. but we'll find out.
I said that about everyone.
That's true.
Yeah.
But and also before we move on to the recommendations, go on to Facebook Leamington Comic Con, because they have the Small Press Factor, the little competition where you could take part. If you've got a small press book or you've got a comic that you're going to be releasing, then get in touch with them. You can fill out a form, do a little sort of video to sell your work, as it were. It's going to be interesting to see what sort of videos Dan and the Leamington crew get for that. And you could win a table at Leamington Comic Con 2017, which is a great show. Very, very small press friendly as well.
Busy show as well.
A very busy show. You could win publicity for your comic. You could win a guest spot on this very show.
Yeah,
I know. I don't know whether that's the booby prize. because we're a bunch of boobs.
And, me and Dan will dry hump your legs.
Yeah. Oh dear. Yeah. So that's why you've got to get involved, people. So I'll put a link in the show notes, but definitely check that out. But you know, you're going to hear more about that. That's up until I think November, isn't it? End of October, November. That's open.
Plenty of time.
There's
plenty of time. For me to sort my shit out and actually tell you
but
about
no
it.
No time like the present. Pull your finger out and get started.
Exactly.
And the other thing is just to blow our own horns, obviously, is we'll have a table at Bristol. We'll be there. Please pop over. If you've got a new book drop in, or you want to have a chat, or you think, I'll go and we'll have the recorder there. Do a sexy interview with you. And also have a look at nottinghamcomiccon.co.uk. They've just announced a couple more guests, really shaping up to be the best year so far. And we'll also have a table there. And I think we're doing a couple of panels there as well, so it should be a laugh. So pop along to that one as well.
Nice. Yes, the Awesome Comics podcast is getting out and about like SARS or a really popular STD.
Short roadshow.
Did you say sex shop roadshow?
Swap shop, you dirty boy.
Oh, dear. Speaking of filth, what are our recommendations for this week? Tony.
Right, Alex, a friend of mine, Alex, he keeps saying he wants to come on and just go, is it me? just to wind us up. I said, if you're online, I'm going to fucking add you to the chat today, and he's not been online, so I didn't get a chance to say it, but yeah, say hello to Alex. The I'm going to do, after Shane Chebsey came in and was talking about inviting Aftershock Comics to his convention in, I think it was Shrewsbury, I can't remember which one he invited them to, but they're a bit of a new comic company, American comic company. They've got about 5 or 6 titles now. Have you read any of their stuff, guys, or?
I've heard of them, but I haven't read any yet.
I suppose their most prominent one is American Monster with Brian Azzarello writing, Wondo drawing. The second site with David Hine writing. But what I picked up was, and I picked this up because of the eyes, and he's a bit of a pal of mine, is I picked up Captain Kidd. It's written by Mark Waid and Tom Payer, but it's drawn by Wilfredo Torres, who I'm absolutely a huge fan of him. I'll read you the spiel. Chris Vargas is an aging man. He's prone to sit at the bar and just sort of chat to bar staff and other sort of drunken regulars in the bar he drinks in. What sets him apart is that he can also transform into a much younger superhero called Captain Kidd. So it's got that sort of Shazam, Captain Marvel feel to it, if you see what I mean. A little bit retro looking, as Wilfredo's art sort of tends to be, sort of cool retro stuff. He encounters a mystery woman called Helia, who looks like an extra from a Wham music video. She's got the sort of leg warmers and a sort of t-shirt with a logo on it and all that sort of thing. And it's from that point on that it starts to play with you and you begin to think, oh, fuck me, where's this going? Wilfredo, have you read any of his stuff? He did The Shadow. Anyone?
Yeah, I've heard of his stuff. I'm not sure if I've read it.
And I've read it, I don't think.
Yeah, beautiful stuff. He did, like I said, I think he did Shadow Year One and he did Jupiter Circle with Mark Miller.
Yes.
If anyone was ever born to draw Mad Men, the TV series, it's him. You know, he's got that sort of sharp suit, sort of, you know, you want to see him draw Clark Kent. You know, he's that sort of kind of art to it. Just beautiful, solid storytelling. Really, really lovely stuff. It's well worth picking up. I think it came out this week, issue one. If you can afford it with the hiking prices this week, then get on it. In fact, the T-shirt she's wearing says Relax. There you go. It's looking at it now. Find out more about Wilfredo if you go to Mighty Fine Line, MightyFineLine.blogspot.com, or you can find him at Mighty Fine Line on Twitter. I got a commission off him 2 years ago of The Shadow, and it is absolutely Alex Toth good. Really, really cool. Great stuff.
Nice.
Yeah, so have a look at that.
Very nice. Good. Dan, what about you?
I'm going to give a quick shout out to a book Tony's mentioned before, Airboy.
Right. Good. Yeah.
Boy for me for my birthday. It's absolutely fantastic.
Incredible, isn't it?
Written by James Robinson and Greg Hinkle. What Tony said about it couldn't have prepared me for what a great comic book it really is. It's fantastic. It's so good. I mean, it feels like it's going to be one of those ones that's mentioned in the same breaths as work like The Watchmen or stuff like that. It's absolutely
so well done.
Yeah.
And it's so, it's obviously really cathartic for him as well. He's just getting it, because I think he was splitting up with his wife and he just kind of had a big row with DC and left them, and then, you know, it's just so well done. I'm just looking at the panel now, it's got Airboy pointing downwards and going, that lady had a penis. And it's just like, just made me laugh so much.
You know, it's a series that got a lot of, I mean, it's certain controversy at the time, which kind of, I think, overshadows what the book is.
But essentially, he gets commissioned to write Airboy, doesn't he? Character, and he you take the writer and this car crash and he doesn't know what the fuck to do, and this all starts going wrong for him, and then Airboy pops up.
Yeah, he gets on the reality, starts snorting heroin and cocaine, and then the actual character turns up in his life. So you know, he doesn't want to write this sort of fighter pilot adventure story. He wants to write about himself, and then the cover's got that. They're just sort of sitting on a couch in their pants, aren't they, surrounded by beer cans, and you know,
I mean, the two of them gone like a kind of drink and drugs binge, and they fucking go for it. It's really,
it's like Vince was at Thought Bubble, similar. Yeah. Sort of, yeah.
Just an absolute sort of urine soaked mess.
So the running joke is like
Nazi
the artist.
I won't be at Thought Bubble this year, funnily enough.
There's a bit absolutely cracks me up, but basically that. Airboy tells them, oh, don't forget to wear like the bring along the Allied officer uniform. And the way it's like a double page spread, and that's at the end of the right hand side. And you jump back to the left hand side at the bottom, the next panel. And it's the artist saying, I forgot the uniform. it's just so well. The whole thing is like the art and the writing are just so well done. Mm. It's kind of like two people at the top of their craft.
I don't think we're ruining anything, but it's not just them sort of bar hopping and joined by Airboy. Halfway through, suddenly they find themselves in Airboy's world.
Yeah.
There's these sort of fighter planes and giant sort of Nazi mecha robots, and they have to dress up as Nazis to try and get away with something. And yeah.
They're constantly questioning whether this is real or not because they've taken so much drink of drugs, and they're saying, well, it can't be a shared hallucination because we're both.
Yeah.
Thinking it. The other one said, well, what if I'm in your imagination now? And they go for these kind of metaphorical situation.
Issue 4, the first page is just them both walking through sort of a bombed out Dresden type town. And they're both dressed as Nazis. And it's just got James Robinson saying, I feel bad.
Classic moment when they're talking back, saying these fucking suits, that uniforms are awesome though. And it's like, well, you know, Hugo Boss.
Yeah.
I said, I didn't know that. He goes, well, it's not the kind of thing that fucking they mention on America's Next Top Model.
It's so fucking cool in these uniforms.
Yeah.
I said, because I've repeated this before, but I sat next to James Robinson at New York a couple of years ago, and I said, oh, what are you doing? He says, I'm doing Airboy. And I went, oh, I used to like Airboy when he was at Eclipse Comics and that sort of thing. And he sort of gave me this sort of weird double look, as if he was about to ruin my childhood, you know, by saying, well... So you know what? He gets blown by a transvestite, and we do a lot of cocaine in this one. I was gonna, you know, but oh no, still brilliant. Actually loved it. Yeah.
One of the things is Airboy being such a kind of, in the comic at least, it's like a Captain America type, absolutely like white and white. He's good, true, like and honest. And when he comes into our world, he presumes that the Allies lost the war. Because it's such, the world's a shithole and everything's fucking horrible and degraded. They're like, no, the Allies won. And he's like, I've fucking fought for this.
I definitely need
to. And it's a lovely hardback as well, isn't it? It's sort of,
It's fantastic. It's got like in the back sketches, how the artists work, and it's fantastic.
Yeah. It's one of those ones that they'll be talking about in years to come, and you really need to get on board it because I think it's, I don't think he'll do another one like this, you know, and I think it's that little piece of history, comics history almost. Suddenly.
Like you said, when it's, you kind of get a glimpse into the writer, into like the shit he was going through, it's really touching. It's kind of savage, but brutal. The kind of the heartache that's kind of been poured out over the pages when he's kind of
definitely
talking about what's happening in his life.
Mm. Nice.
Very good.
Yeah,
that's on my wish list. Right, so, and as for the book that I'm going to, well, the recommendation, it's a book that's sort of in production at the moment. It's got like a Patreon at the moment. It's a book called A Certain Symmetry, written by Richard Wirth and illustrated by Jordan Culver. If you recognise those names, they're the two minds behind the small press publisher Water Closet Press. And if you know that name, then it's no doubt because you picked up their Victorian sort of teen book, Ladies and Gentlemen. Which is a sort of like, it's a cracking sort of rollicking adventure about like people in Victorian era taking on monsters, etc. And so you should check that out anyway. But they're working on this new project called A Certain Symmetry, which is a beautifully told tale about the relationship between Sir Arthur Conan Doyle and Harry Houdini. Now, here's a little blurb for you. Harry Houdini and Sir Arthur Conan Doyle were two of the most influential men of their time. I don't think we can argue with that, really, can we? Each led extraordinary lives in their own right, but their lives also overlapped in astonishing ways. Their mutual admiration for one another brought them together, and the two men became fast friends, even accompanying one another on family holidays. And yet their conflicting beliefs and goals resulted in a heated rivalry. They died bitter and distant from each other, never reconciling. There you go. And this, they're basically telling the story of how that came to be, really, and how these two people became friends and then fell apart. And they started work on it, and the pages that they've got so far, it starts with Conan Doyle writing a letter. He's typing out a letter to Houdini, sort of an apology and, how did we fall apart. And it's beautiful stuff. It's told poetically, like from the words that Doyle is typing, like in this letter to Houdini, and the sort of rhythm and sort of panel layout of the artwork that goes along with it, and the lettering and just everything. It's, the art has a sort of sepia tone, but like really nice clear lines and expressive facial features. You know, there's effort to make these people look like the people they're supposed to be. Now I think Jordan's artwork's amazing. I've got like a print of his, which is a character fighting a Godzilla-like monster, which is amazing. But in this book, like each panel's like a work of art as it is. But when you factor in the fascinating story of these two major characters from like history, like Conan Doyle became obsessed with like spiritualism and like the other side and you know, spirits and all that kind of things. Whereas Houdini was a skeptic.
Yeah.
How those two beliefs sort of like butted heads against one another. But in this letter, at the beginning, it's sort of interwoven, like he's typing it, but you can see Harry Houdini doing some tricks and stuff, being lowered into, like covered in change and then lowered from a hook, and everyone watching it, and it's just marvellous stuff. It's the start of the project that the creators want to create as a graphic novel called Escape. Now, they want to do the whole thing, so they've started a Patreon for it, which is patreon.com Water Closet Press. If you go to watercloset.press.com, you can check out their other work. But I followed Jordan on Twitter and saw some of these pages and was immediately taken by it. I'll post some of them up on the Facebook because, you know, I think this could be a very special book if it gets made. And you know, this relationship and those two characters, you know, it seems fictionalized, which makes it even more amazing that these people sort of existed. You know, that those two, you know, Harry Houdini and the creator of Sherlock Holmes. You know, and he mentions in the letter how like Sherlock Holmes is almost like a weight around his neck because Conan Doyle didn't like that character in the end. You know, anyone who knows about Conan Doyle knows that he wasn't fond of Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's why he killed him off. He killed him off, and then because everyone wanted Sherlock Holmes back, he was kind of forced by the publisher to write him back. The Return of Sherlock Holmes was something that Conan Doyle did not want to write.
Interesting.
Yeah, he became popular. Yeah,
that's like John Woo. He did a film called A Better Tomorrow.
Yeah,
and the it was like that's his artistic vision, and he's like, I'm not making a second one. And the Japanese mafia was like, you fucking are, you are. It's like, okay, gotta make a sequel.
Yeah. Yeah, Conan Doyle is very much like John Woo. Everyone's got two guns in every.
Yeah.
But because Holmes was so popular, it allowed him to explore and research like spiritualism and like that sort of stuff. He was moving into that new era, which I'm not too up to date with that history, so I'm quite interested in seeing how these two guys, they went on family holidays together. I didn't know that. You know, I did not know they were that close, and yet they died.
I didn't know that at all.
They died bitter rivals. You know,
enemies.
So something must have happened. You know, what on earth happened? I don't want to see it on a TV show or a film. I want to read it in this book. So go to patreon.com at Water Closet Press. And if you see them at a show, because they're Bristol creators, definitely check them out because they're lovely guys.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I'll have a look at that. Yeah.
Oh,
cool.
I'll send you some pictures after we finish.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Send me some pictures of the comic as well, yeah?
Oh, yeah, of course. okay. Yeah, it might take a couple of WhatsApps to get what I'm going to send you in.
Yeah, take a picture of it from the right angle. It looks big.
Oh, lovely.
Okay, yeah.
If you want to send us
medium anything,
everything's big on this show.
Yeah.
Apart from listenership, no. thank you for listening, folks. I mean, I think we've discussed quite a few things in this show. It's just ended up in a pub chat, really, isn't it? That's what I love about this show. It's just nice talking to you too every week.
There's a lot of shows that kind of just do the ramble about. Pop culture stuff, comics at the moment. We try not to do that, but we do like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
We like doing that every once in a while.
Yeah. Yeah. I know we're a small press show and everyone thinks we're small press everything, but we're also massive Marvel, DC, and everything fans. You know?
Yeah. We love mainstream comics as well. We love all comics, don't we? Do you know what I mean? We specialise in small press, but I mean, I read a lot of Marvel and DC. I don't mean that many, but Image and Valiant and Dynamite, you know. All these companies, very good.
I mean, if we just did another podcast, it would be one of the many ranks of podcasts that just do very. I'm not being down on any other podcasts, but
we're the best.
Want to do something a bit different.
Yeah, and if you want to let us know what you thought of this show, if you disagree with any of our statements, if there's any other comic book shops that you want us to know about,
I'd say take that as read that they disagree with any of us.
Yeah, pretty much.
We like that though. To be fair, yeah. I'd hate anyone to agree with me. That'd upset me.
Me too.
Some of your movie choices, Tony. Barbed wire.
Why, fuck you.
No, barbed wire. That must be another one you don't like.
Oh, I've never seen it all the way through, I'll be honest with you.
There you go. Yeah, I'm the same. It's one of those films I've never
finished. What about Superman 4, Quest for Peace?
I prefer Superman 4 to Superman 3.
In your face, Butcher.
Really? Superman 3 is not a Superman movie. It's a Richard Pryor movie.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. But it's still terrible, Superman 4. But
that fucking woman, when she gets taken out by the robot, is terrifying.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. God, that used to terrify me when I was a kid. We hope we didn't terrify you people, though. If we did, there's several different ways.
So good.
You can tell us about it. If you like my segues, there's several different ways you can tell us.
And you can write in crayon, because you're not adding things sharp.
Email us, awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. If you want to tell Tony to fuck off and leave Vince alone, because he's trying his best every week.
Listen, if you want to write in and just tell me to fuck off, I will love that. Do you know what? I'd actually really like to be insulted online.
There you go. He said it, folks. Tony.awesomecomicspod@gmail.com is the place to go. Also, let us know about any books and events. We've got some great books coming recently. Always, they're piling
today. We've got some crackers through. Yeah, actually, really good books.
They're piling up, so thank you very much, and we'll try and get through them and try and mention. We get a lot of, it sort of comes in sort of massive like bursts, so we can't mention everything all at once. So grow up, Tony. So apologies if we don't get around to mentioning your stuff, but thank you for sending it in. And there's plenty more cool stuff to come. And thank you for following us on the Twitter at The Awesome Pod, where we always post up who's going to be on the next show, or try and get you involved with a poll. That sounds a bit weird. And likewise, another thing that's quite weird is facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast, where we post up pictures of the artwork of books that we want you to check out before the show, or events, or everything, or sometimes it's just pictures that we decide to post because it's our Facebook, isn't it? We can do what we want.
You do what you fucking like. Pictures of my dog, I'll do anything on there.
Exactly. Gangster. Thank you for listening to us on the website, awesomecomics.podbean.com. Whether you listen to us on iTunes, please leave a review. Please tell everyone about this show, because we want as many people out there to know about your books as we can possibly get, and hopefully they'll sort of glass over the fact that we talk a load of bollocks for the 90% of this show. So, and thank
you. It's pretty generous.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to us on the Podnose Network and on Stitcher. Now, where can people find us on Twitter and online?
Ezohyz on Twitter. If you go to Down the Tubes and you enjoyed that review I did of Sliced number 3, then there's some images going up tomorrow around that. So it's good stuff.
Awesome. There you go. Dan.
Twitter is at Vanguard Comic, and you can be Vanguard at VanguardComic.com.
Brilliant. I hope a lot of bad guys are going to get absolutely mullered soon, Dan, because you've been playing with my emotions for a long time.
The next page is going to might upset people.
Oh, good.
You're going to get fan backlash.
Oh, yep. God.
What? Are you acting it out with your little action figure?
What is he talking about? Can you tell us off air, Dan?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
Can you tell us if you've had sex with your action figure yet?
Yes.
Not yet.
Not yet. Brilliant. Oh, dear. You can follow me on Twitter at Jester Diablo. And if you want to find out more about my comic, The Red Mass from Mars, go to theredmassfrommars.com. Thank you for listening to us rant and rave and basically be nerds for an evening.
Yeah.
It's been wonderful. It's been emotional. And from Dan, Tony and myself, have a brilliant week. Stay cool out there because it's getting warmer.
Well, it's hot in
here. Yeah, it is indeed.
Yeah.
It's getting hot in here. We're about to get naked and jump in the hot tub. So we'll see you next week and stay awesome. See ya.
See ya. I was reading something on that Ask Reddit, and it was like the kind of these situations that people found themselves in. There's one girl talking about the fact that hair used to grow on her boyfriend's knob, so they'd have to shave it off, and it would like chafe her as it was kind of like they was having sex. And I sort of looked away from my phone, looked at a window, thought, why am I reading this?
I had like a moment of like realized a moment of clarity. I thought, why am I reading about this?
Yeah. Why am I reading about this then?
Then you finished the article.
Yeah.